Frontal lobotomy. You have to forget a lot of things.
Aw, his phone is cut off at midnight.
Oh, well, we can shut it down now.
Oh, well, Justin's on. He just came
in. Oh, well, Justin?
You gotta
Somebody's calling in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's him.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Justin, I was just going to say before I saw you pop up, that was another odd synchronicity, like the hoi polloi one, that, yeah, we want to have you on the show, and I was complimenting you earlier at the beginning about your knowledge of, you know, actually Illuminati symbolism and, you know, the ritual things they do and stuff like that, so.
Oh, definitely, appreciate it. Yeah, that's the angle that I try to cover more because, you know, on our show, Brian and James, you know, they seem to be, you know, they take a little more time on the hoaxes and they get it down. So what I try to do is get the background to it and try to, you know, get behind it and what type of, you know, occult ritual it is or what type of, you know, what they're selling pretty much is what I try to, you know, add to the show pretty much.
Well, that's actually a good combination.
Yeah, I think we've done well with, you know, the three of us, you know, as far as tackling everything from every different angle. You know, I mean, Brian and James, they can you know, tell you every different shot of 9/11 and every, you know, and every different thing. I can't for the most part, but as far as, you know, as far as that, I'm not as, you know, I can't do it verbatim like they can, whereas. But as far as the symbolism and stuff like that, I could, you know, I picked up on a lot of that. And the use of the 93 and the 77, which is 93 is obviously the do what thou wilt, Crowley number, which was used many times, and 77, which is the highest number in Kabbalah, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think, you know, we've made a good team over the years as far as that. You know.
Justin, I think it was in our last podcast before this when I talked about the number 93 as it related to 1993, because I actually believe that there was a big agenda that went forth at that time in the popular media, basically with the UFO propaganda. You could see it with the X-Files, which came out in 1993. But basically, after 1993, like you would go to, like, you know, like a checkout line and local store or something like that, and before that you wouldn't see like these alien suckers. Now they kind of backed off of this a little bit, you know, but I mean it's like aliens were like everywhere all of a sudden, just out of the blue, you know?
Right.
Push it at that time. Yeah, go ahead.
Indeed. No, you're, I mean, you're 100%. I mean, I didn't notice in 1993. I was early teen then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was 12 or 13, so, I mean, I didn't notice it, like, per se, but since you say that, yeah, I mean, I definitely have to agree, and I think, you know, we saw another push of it when 2012 was coming up, and as far as, you know, that goes, you know, the New Agers talk a lot about the Age of Aquarius and whatnot, and I've heard that other people say that we've actually been in the Age of Aquarius since the early 90s, which is another weird thing that would have to, you know, do with the same thing. And you know, it's hard to prove because, you know, we're going on calendars that are not, you know, they're not exactly all synced up and whatnot.
The chronology is all corrupt, the starting points, you see.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Hey, real quick, I'll go back to this, but Brian said that someone can call him and get him back on. You'd have to do
I'm on. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I got him. I went back out and got him.
That's why I said, could you guys hear me a minute ago?
Okay.
Am I echoing to you?
If you look at the number 39, that's obviously a reversal of 93.
Right,
of course, that's
same power.
Before, but the number 39 is very interesting to investigate.
Yeah, well, you know, it's insane that, you know, a lot of these numbers, in fact, and even like, you know, I thought I used to think like I didn't really understand the symbolism behind like 5 and 8 and stuff like that too. And then you look at 8, which on its side is the infinity number, you know. And there's 5 is another huge Kabbalistic number, and you know, and there's so much. Every number that is in every event, you know, when it comes down to it, is, you know, is symbolic in one way or another, and it's just figuring out exactly what the numerology and what, and the thing is, you know, it's even hard to figure it out because, you know, you're going to get different interpretations of numerology, you know, depending on what you go by, you know.
Mm-hmm. We actually have the entire alphabet, just real quick, Connie, and all the numbers, they all have a sexual connotation. Go ahead, Connie.
You had to throw that one in there, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, Justin, what were you saying earlier about 77? You said something about Aleister Crowley.
Yeah, well, 77 is I guess the highest number. Has the most worth in Kabbalah for some reason. I don't know the exact point of it, but after 93, 77 is the biggest number.
Oh, wow.
To the Crowley crowd, you know, OTO or, you know, whatever offshoots of it. So many of the cults that we're seeing nowadays, whether Church of Satan or Aquino's Temple of Set or the Process Church of the Final Judgment, which is a Scientology offshoot, and we all know L. Ron Hubbard was a protege of Crowley as well.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, there's so many tie-ins between these groups. You know, the Process Church was a group that was tied to the Mansonites, and also the Son of Sam and Berkowitz and whatnot. There's a cult that actually is still going to this day in Untermeyer Park in New York. And now, Samuel Untermeyer, who was the guy that made Untermeyer Park, was known to be a huge occultist, and he was also on the World Zionist Forum, World Zionist Organization. He was, you know, very, very high up, one of the power brokers of the late 19th century and early 20th century, and he made a bunch of stuff on this in this park. You can go there now; it is owned by the City of Yonkers now, but they've taken some of the stuff down. But it's still a lot of stuff that is still used in rituals to this day, where they sacrifice animals and stuff like that. They're still finding that bodies of dogs and stuff like that over there.
Hmm. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Untermeyer Park is like the pretty much East Coast. In Newtown it is the Satanist Church East Coast, but as far as the Crowley offshoot, that area there in Westchester County and Yonkers and whatnot, from my research, it seems like that's where most of these cults operate out of, and that's where Berkowitz lived, right next to there, and even admitted that he used to be involved in rituals at that park.
I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you think organized Satanism, I'm talking about the generational type stuff, the old Satanism is concentrated, but my understanding is it's in Atlanta, in Denver, also like Colorado, but also there's a lot of old Satanism in Pennsylvania. Of course, you know, there's places like,
Why do you think it becomes spread out like that and segregated in certain places?
There's hubs of it. You know, that's where the power is concentrated. Pretty much, I think that's what Wayne's trying to say, is where the major hubs of it are. And a lot of it has to do with ley lines and things
Yeah. And, you know, they knew about this stuff a long time ago. I was researching over the past summer about these different religions, like the Quaker type stuff, you know, kind of like the Amish type stuff, but it's this stuff called the Shakers. And
right.
It was kind of like the precursors to like Pentecostal, like Holy Roller type stuff. And they would shake and dance and do all this stuff. But this is like the 1700s. So it's not like, you know, it's modern day and they're like, hallelujah, praise the dancing and all that stuff. This is like 1700s, prim, proper, almost like pilgrim type stuff. So I started researching it. And you know where they went to? Pennsylvania. And there was a lot. They said that there was holy ground there. And there was a lot of witchcraft being done there. And it wasn't done by the people who previously lived there. Obviously, that's the Native Americans. It was done by them. And that's another reason why, like, a lot of stuff happened in Massachusetts with the Salem trial and all that stuff. It was all about ley lines and all this stuff. And that's another reason why the Indians have, like, hallowed ground. There's a lot of hallowed ground around here. Or not just here where I live, but just around the whole entire United States. There's a lot of it. And a lot of times you go to these places that are supposed to be high energy, and you can literally feel it. Even people who don't feel anything, they'll go there and they'll feel something. And after that, they'll walk away and always be energy sensitive. just because they had, it's like a sudden burst of energy like went through them, and they had to go. It basically, now that they're researching about this stuff, it's basically blockages. All of us have energy blockages in our bodies, and after you get, it's almost like being electrocuted, or I can't say electrocuted, but kind of.
It jumpstarts you.
Yeah, like a jump start, right? Yeah, like that's
electrical thinking. Jolt.
Yeah, like a jolt, and it just boom, and then after
lightning
that,
lightning can do that, Connie.
Normal.
It has with people.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It gives
after
them
that,
psychic abilities.
Psychic abilities, yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, they're psychic right after they get electrocuted, or they get shot down by by a lightning bolt or something like that. Yeah, so that's pretty much
you know
what happens in these crazy places.
You know what's crazy is a lot of those places, like you're just mentioning, like there's a couple even in Connecticut. And I've heard of people that have gone there, complete skeptics, don't believe in any of the, you know, anything paranormal, anything like that. And they'll go to a couple, there's one spot where it's like at the solstice, you know, a beam of light will go through, and it was built a certain way. And we're talking, you know, it was built in the 1600s by Native Americans. And they'll go to this spot, I forget the name of it, it's got a Indian name, I believe, but they'll go to it and they'll feel like you're saying, like that type of electrocution, and it turns them from a skeptic into, you know, wow, this really
yeah.
exists.
Mm-hmm. Hey, are you near? I know you're in Connecticut, right?
Yeah.
Are you anywhere near New London?
I'm about 45 miles in New London. I'm right outside of New Haven, so not far from New
oh,
London.
Oh, you're in New Haven.
Half hour, right.
Okay, yeah. Well, a couple years ago, I made a trip up there around Christmas time to go see somebody, and he was in New London, but that's where I had to go. Like, one of the stops was over in New Haven, because I took the bus up there.
Okay.
That's a pretty spooky place up there. The whole time I was on the bus, I had to go to Grand Central, and it was, like, Christmas Day. That was insane. I had to go
yeah.
to New York. And then I took the rest of the Greyhound all the way up, and it was, like, or I think it was on Peter Pan, something like that, and it was just, it was kind of overcast, and it just, like, I don't know, set the tone for the whole trip. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then, of course, I went next to Gail, and the whole I had just woke up, too, like, you know, out of the Matrix. So I'm like, oh, my God, Skull and Bones. I'm
yeah.
right next to Skull and Bones. You know, I was freaking out.
Skull and Bones, and there's, you know, a lot of people don't realize, but there's three other secret societies on the Yale campus, Wolf's Head, Skull and Key, and I forget the other one, and they're pretty much, they have almost as much influence as Skull and Bones, you know.
Oh,
and it's
wow.
And if you walk around there, you can see, like, they have you know, on their fence posts, it looks like bats and things like that, and, you know, the very, it's very gothic, you know, type thing, and it doesn't really fit in with the architecture from around there, even though it's, you know, it's like old Renaissance, old architecture, but it's weird how, like, you have, you know, these. Another one has, like, the Wolf's Head, for example, and it's, you know, it's there's a lot of old money up here, you know, and
these
people have been doing this stuff since they came here, and that's mm-hmm. you know, another thing you mentioned, Salem. No, I don't know if you guys have studied up on the West Memphis 3 and everything, but personally, I think that I believe they're guilty from what I've come out to from my research. But I found it funny that Damien Echols, you know, the he was made into, like, the main member of that. He's pretty much an avowed Crowleyist and Satanist and whatnot. That's where he moved after he got out of jail, was right to Salem, Mass. And then after that, now he's in New York City.
Wow.
So it makes you wonder, you know, he's selling all these types of crystals and things like that. It's just another weird piece that fits into the puzzle, you know. It's just very weird. And he's got all these celebrities, Johnny Depp and all them behind him, and they all share occult tattoos and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We think the Salem witch trials was basically the opposite of what we're told.
I believe the same thing. I think that the real witches persecuted a bunch of phony witches type thing,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. We believe they were most likely the real Christians.
Yep.
They keep pushing that
PSYOP every year, big time. And, you know, the poor witches that were persecuted by the Christians. And, you know, you kind of have to explain all that, because not only do I believe the Roman Catholic Church was infiltrated, but it was actually created from the ground up. And they were creating great, great historical crimes that any kind of reasonable mind should acknowledge, unless they're not functioning properly, you know.
Right.
But they push that propaganda every year around, you know, in October. just hammer away at people. You know, young people, they're and it conditions their mind, you know.
They oh, totally.
History Channel, all that garbage.
Yeah. No, especially, I'm sure Brian gets it too, living near Salem, and, you know, and even myself just being in New England, and, you know, it's almost like they push you to you know, like you said, the poor witches and everything else, when in reality, you know, they were likely persecuting decent people, and, you know, the other ones got away.
Well, we're going to talk about a subject that I think we've touched on it, that I have not really heard anybody talk about, especially from a Christian perspective. But we believe, well, first of all, number one of the things we talk about around here, it's right near the top, is lost knowledge, okay? And we're confirmed devolutionists, okay?
Right.
So as a devolutionist, you're going to have lost knowledge. But the whole thing with the Inquisition, man, you want to talk about psyops within psyops. It's unbelievable, but we actually believe that there was older, earthy-type knowledge. In the simple level, like things that have to do with herbology and stuff like that, that we're going to look at this from a Christian perspective. We differ with secular people. We believe that the Illuminati are basically worshiping a dark entity, actually more than one dark entity. I think they actually worship a pantheon. But they
sure.
believe that Christians are the enemy. Now, actually, century after century indicates that, actually validates this view. There was this big focus on Christianity. See, we're looking at it from a different perspective now. We're talking about a system of control in elitists, okay? Because the average secularist, he's going to say, well, Christianity is an archaic, boring religion, it doesn't matter anymore, and it's just, it doesn't have any, you know, it's just put in the waste bin. You know what I mean? But this held true up until 19th century. Now, what I'm trying to say, there was all kinds of traditional knowledge that had been passed on for literally thousands of years. And in Western culture, this most of it got truncated right after World War II when they started to push all these pharmaceuticals on us, because we know for a fact that mothers used to teach their daughters about these all these little traditions, you know, healing the body and stuff like that. And after that, what happened? They disappeared. I mean, we know that's true. Now, what I'm trying to say is that a lot of this stuff, which Christians would associate with the occult and witchcraft, is actually valid. There's like a middle ground here, which is kind of, sometimes it would be called certain things like charms or something like that. Some of the stuff actually works, and it's not actually condemned in the Bible. People would just assume that it is. There was a fantastic book written in the 19th century. It's the greatest work on this subject. I can't remember what it is. But if you look through the book, you'll go, wow, there's all kinds of stuff in here I never thought about before, and I wonder if any of this stuff works. But basically what they were doing, they were taking these things away from Christians, and also everybody else as well, and they're doing it for everybody, and condemning them as witches. Through guilt by association, to take these healing methods, just like they're doing today, away from the common man. And it was very effective. And you see Christians today, like on Facebook, they have been so psyoped, because you got to understand, Justin, there's all kinds of things in the New Age movement that are beneficial to the body, the mind, and there's, you also have what's called new science. And this all gets compartmentalized away from Christians, and it's all demonized through guilt by association, and they can't access it. They can't benefit from it. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're talking about with a lot of the Christians who right away will throw the baby out with the bathwater and just say, that's a New Age thing, it's a false idol or whatever, or it's something like that. And see, that's the thing. Like me personally, I'm Christian-leaning. I'm not a born-again or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But I do follow, you know, most of the Golden Rule, for example, and I do believe that, you know, I believe in Jesus and everything. But I totally agree with you as far as, like, you know, when you talk to people like that and anything that's alternative or anything like that, for the most part, a lot of them are just want to toss it out and say, well, that's not, you know, it's not in the gospel, it's not, you know, type thing.
Well, actually, if you know where to look, some of the stuff is in the Bible. But what I'm trying to say here in a nutshell is you actually had legitimate Christians or just non-Christians, whatever, and they didn't like these healing practices or whatever they were, And so they demonized them and basically called them witches and then killed them in order to drive fear into other people. And that, and nobody's really talking about this, especially from the Christian angle. You know what I mean?
This is what we were going to talk about. We're going to do a podcast about it. It was actually like all the lost teachings. And it's basically like herbology and like herbalism and stuff with crystal healing. And it's basically
mushrooms and whatnot
with,
too, no?
Yeah, right, yeah, mushroom healing. All the stuff about your energy. And some things about actually being able to connect yourself to spirit, to God, where people today think that that's the devil or you shouldn't do that, that's drugs. And it's like,
right.
It's a plant. How is that drugs?
They try to make it like you're doing heroin or using a Ouija board or
right,
something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, yeah. And it's like, for one, that stuff is like chemical and it's processed. And for another, that literally opens doors. So we're not
right.
sitting here with a Ouija board and we're not sitting here
right.
pumping some liquid into our veins. You know, we're going to, it's the same thing the Native Americans did, same stuff that some things actually are in the Bible. You can actually prove some of the stuff. Some of the
well, you can see
they,
the poultice there that the prophet Isaiah recommended
mm-hmm.
to King Hezekiah.
Right. Yeah. And like the mud,
Christians would associate
mud
that with the occult.
Stuff, yeah, they think that that's like witchcraft or something. Or
herbal
the fact
poultice.
That, or, yeah, exactly. And that Jesus picked up some mud and put it on, made a salve and put it on somebody's eyes, you know. And made a blind man see. All that is herbalism, all of it, you know. And actually, I think after he said some words to
like
her, too.
Like bentonite clay or something like that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, there's secrets
like clay,
to the
yeah.
soil that people don't know about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he spit on the soil. And it's like he spit, he made a paste, he said some words. That's like craft, basically. You make a paste, you do whatever, and you say some magical words, and ta-da, you know. So, and actually, healing words, like they, who was it, Masuko, I think it was. I always forget his name. Masaki, some Japanese guy, and he actually proved that by talking to water
mm-hmm.
with positive words will actually make your water have a lot of good energy in it. And if you say really negative things to water, it will actually like mildew and mold and all kinds of stuff. It'll turn black and brown. This is all under microscope.
Not only that, but unless this is disinfo, and there's a slight possibility it is. They have proven scientifically that any kind of prayer, in other words, non-Christian prayers, actually have a beneficial effect on food and water. It has to do with the intention.
Right.
So Christians would say, well, if they're not from God, it's all demons and it's going to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that simple, man. There's a middle position a lot of times that Christians are ignoring because they're getting their education largely from their pastor.
Yeah, which almost all of it is, you know, a false religion. So, and it was all founded... almost all of it is Roman Catholic, and, you know, once you find out more about them and Jesuits, and oh, wow. Okay.
It's interesting, Connie, how Christians, well, you know, we have the one true religion, but they will demonize Roman Catholicism and say, well, it's religion from Satan. So what they believe is that the true religion emerged out of a false religion, but not only that, the true religion actually emerged out of a system of control.
Right.
A system of control. Everything was under control in the medieval era. I'd like to know exactly how that happened.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Exactly.
I have a question for you guys as well. What do you think about the early Gnostics, as they were supposed to hold a lot of knowledge, and they were also persecuted, I believe, as well? Or do you leave that to PSYOP? What do you think?
I can tell you in a very concise...
That is a very...
I just better talk myself, Connie. That's an extremely complex subject. Okay. The first thing
that's
you have to know.
That's a whole other podcast.
First thing you have to know is that we're being psyoped with the word Gnostic. Any scholar out there that uses that term without qualifying it, he's using it as a monolithic term. That's completely false because there was different Gnostic sects, according to what we're told, that were antagonistic to each other. You know, as I said, according to what we were told, you actually can't prove anything. Before the 14th century. Now, here's how you illustrate how you can't prove anything. Choose the authority and name this person that can infallibly prove anything before the 14th century. Now, here's the reason why you can't do it, because unbeknownst to most people, but historians actually know this, but the problem is they're non-conspiratorial. We don't have original copies of anything. All we have is dusty medieval manuscripts. Even that's according to what we're told. So, we are actually relying, unbeknownst to most people, on trusting the medieval Catholic Church to tell us about the ancient world. Now, do you trust the medieval Catholic Church? Because everything's
not
built
at all
through them. Notice, Justin, how you don't hear people talking about this?
No, that's a good point. You know,
and so on our show, we talk about how to learn how to think straight, and that's how to learn how to think straight about ancient history. We don't know, we don't have certainty about anything. Okay, so now this goes to the Gnostic. Now, the word Gnostic is a modern term that was created by scholars. Actually, that's what we're told, because we know that the English language was created by the powers that be, okay,
right,
for a diabolical purpose to keep us down on the farm. Because the English language is very, very restrictive. And you got all this
Used for legalese all over the world as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's all very complex, isn't it? And so anyway, they didn't use the word Gnostic or Gnosticism. Now, they had the word Gnosis, which is a Greek word. But now, I talked earlier to Brian when you were listening about this massive cataclysm. Now, if this was actually occurred, then what we're being told about world history is completely false. But people don't believe in that kind of thing. So I'll just sidestep that and go back to the medieval era. We didn't have any control at all. So it's just like if you look at the Inquisition, you're relying on the Roman Catholic Church to tell
right.
you what happened. Now, I believe that the Albigenses, we'll call them the medieval remnant, the Cathars, the Albigenses, the Bogomils, you know, the Adamites, all these little funny groups that they gave these weird names. But these
right.
were the actual genuine persecuted remnant. But here's the thing. I don't know what they actually believe, and there's anybody else. You see that? We don't know.
No.
They tell
right.
us that they were Gnostics. You know what I mean? Now, if you understand how to think properly, okay, Justin, you ask yourself the question. First of all, you go, okay, the hierarchy, at the very least, was evil. Okay? And we already talked about how they were murdering people for a diabolical purpose to suppress certain things. In this case, I think it has to do with knowledge. And so what does that tell us when they're killing people? That tells us that these were the good guys. You see how you learn to think straight about that?
Sure.
Exact
no,
opposite. Just like the Salem witch trial. You see that?
Yeah. Well,
and
well,
and it's Satanism, they like to reverse
makes,
everything. Go ahead.
That makes me bring up another point, too. I mean, and not that I am anything for this group today, what they stand for, but there's another group that was supposedly persecuted as well, the Knights Templar. You know, I mean, obviously the Crusades and all that and whatnot, but, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, just according to, like, as you're saying, as far as history goes, you know, we don't know, you know, I mean, I do find it odd that the Freemasons and everybody hold them in such high esteem. However, it makes you wonder, though, you know, why were they burned at the stake and everything else? If you know, maybe it was just for the knowledge. Maybe they were, you know, good and evil. You know, it's hard to discern that, though. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is like with anything. So, I guess the number one thing that people need to know about Gnosticism is we cannot know anything for certain. Everything is unprovable theories. So that's like the foundation, and you work off of that. Now, how many people are doing that kind of thing?
Yeah, I'd say there's like 3% of us, if that.
Because they were antagonistic groups. Now, when you get on like History Channel, you'll see like Aileen Pagels get on there, and she throws around the word Gnostic, and she's deliberately not defining her terms. Just like if you notice that the media has never defined the word Jew, because the word Jew can mean more than one thing, obviously. And they're never going to do that, Justin, because they don't want to. You see that?
Right, just like Israel, just like, you know, the
exactly.
You know, the modern day state of Israel has nothing to do with the ancient Israelites.
Not
and
even a country.
Exactly. So I mean, yes. I mean, when you come down to this, and you have these people believing that they're the chosen ones, and they were given this piece of land, you know, because they supposedly, you know, are from these people, but yet. Even if that's true, even the Mizrahi and Sephardic are the only ones, which is less than 15%, that would even have a possible valid claim, as the Ashkenazi are definitely not from that area, you know?
Yeah. That's probably the number one fake country in the world, unless you want to look at the Vatican, which is supposed to be
right.
kind of like a country. And
no,
the Hollow Hoax, I don't hold to extreme views on that, okay, but I still think there was a Hollow Hoax once it's qualified. You know, my own personal view. I do think something happened. And I actually don't think we can actually know for certain, just like everything else, you know. But
right.
Anyway, there's no question that that was used as a tool to create international sympathy for worldwide Zionism, which is to properly be distinguished from biblical Zionism, because there is a biblical Zionism that has to do with the land grant covenant made to Abraham.
Right, and that's what they, with the Balfour Declaration, that's what was, you know, they mixed up those terms, and that's where the word Jew and the word Israelite and everything, you know, that's where they made sure that's what the new Zionism group was there for, was to, you know, pretty much to muddle all these terms and confuse everybody, as far as, you know, a lot of it goes to the Scofield Bible as well.
Oh man, tell me about
it's insane though how many people believe this stuff, that, you know, just because you lived in, you know, even if you're from Judea, that does not make you a Jew, you know, or just because, you know, it's
right.
And even with Jesus, I mean, a lot of people would say, well, Jesus was a Jew. Well, no, I mean, he didn't live, you know, his life according to even Mosaic law, never mind, you know, Babylonian Talmudic law, you know. So, I mean, you know, he worked during the Sabbath. There's, you know, there's a bunch of stuff on that. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, though, with the Hollow Hoax and everything, you know, I mean, my personal feeling is this. I don't personally believe in the gas chambers. I believe that they were rounded up. I believe that they were persecuted,
mm-hmm.
For the purpose of making Israel the state. But I think that for the most part,
who were they killing? Jews. You got fake Jews as well. I think they were fake Jews, not real Jews.
Yeah,
see,
right.
I don't believe
a Jew.
Like
they're Khazars.
Well, here's the thing. We got the media is never going to be a precise terminology, and that's why you'll never hear them distinguish between a Jew, a Judaite, and a what's the other one? I got a mind blank for the first time tonight. There's actually three terms. But we have to distinguish between someone who lives like in first century Judah and someone who practices that religion, or both. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you don't hear that kind of thing, and that tells you that it's propaganda. Because the word Jew is just like the word Gnostic. Because, you know, they're pushing in popular media a pseudo-Gnosticism. It's not – I mean, if you're going to say that that's ancient Gnosticism anyway and call it Gnostic – this is not Gnosticism. This is something completely different, like what they're pushing in the Matrix, you know? You'll see a few basic commonalities, like this vague concept of a demiurge or something like that, but that's not ancient Gnosticism. It's Gnosticism that's refabricated, and it's really a pseudo-Gnosticism. It's a false philosophy for young people that are apathetic and just want to sit around and watch video games and look at porn.
Right, right. It's kind of like mixing the New Age with it and calling it knowledge is kind
of. It's religion for lazy people, make you think you're enlightened without doing anything.
Right, right.
And it's fun to rebel against the system, and the system is, we call it Christianity, but they created that too.
Right.
Institutional Christianity came from the same source. Second Temple Judaism was a false religion. Second Temple Judaism was a false religion. That was an institutional religion. Jesus and the apostles didn't have anything good to say about that, and they wouldn't have had a heck of a lot of good to say about this institutional system we got either.
Right.
And I think that Christianity is a false religion, but there isn't any true religion. It's all false. And I think that Christianity is superior. It still falls short of a biblical standard.
Well, yeah. Well, the one thing that differs from, you know, the three main religions is that, you know, even I know you're not what you're saying, but even the one thing that differs, even if you go by text of Christianity, is there's nothing in it that allows you to lie to non-believers. As far as in Judaism and Islam, you are allowed to lie to non-believers and things like that. You know, and that's where
you
know,
can lie to save a human life.
Oh, you can.
Even it's not expressed very well. You see it there with the Rahab the prostitute that lied.
Right.
Yeah. To save the lives of the people that were exploring the land. This is what the Book of Joshua, Connie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It basically implies
they sent
here,
the spies
mean?
Out to look over the land of Canaan, and there were a bunch of giants and stuff. And
this would be the same principle
wall.
Where you can violate or break the Sabbath, quote unquote, in order to pull an animal out of the ditch, because
right.
the life of an animal is more important than observing the Sabbath. You know.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. It's kind of like, you know, you're getting a pass because you did something good. In other words, mm-hmm. you know, you weren't doing it. You weren't messing around with your buddies drinking wine or whatever. You were, you know, you're actually doing something, you know, of good to the world, you know, so it's okay. But like I mean, it's not Takiya or Kol Nidre, you know, where you're allowed to you know, where you're encouraged to lie to people of other faiths, you know.
Yeah, lie to the ignorant goyim.
Yeah,
right,
exactly. Or death to the infidel or something
evil.
Like that. No.
Yeah, that is not first century Judaism. That's a new religion.
Right.
That
wasn't under Mosaic law. That's under Talmudic law, correct?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You've got different religions that are associated with Israel or Judah that emerged. You've got a Mosaic religion, which was replaced by... actually, Solomonic religion, but I could skip
right.
over that. And then you had the Deuteronomists, and they radically revised it during King Uzziah's day. But then, definitely, Second Temple Judaism was really a radically different religion because it emerged out of, you know, exile in Babylon, and they absorbed a lot of that religion into the belief system, and it's still there today. You know, the calendar, the names of the calendars, and the months.
Oh, yeah.
They're Babylonian.
Right. You know,
and
yeah,
I believe that there was a solar calendar, and they got the lunar calendar from Babylon. But what I want to say in a nutshell is that let's say you don't believe in a worldwide massive cataclysm, okay? Let's look at one thing and do a little reasoning. We know for sure that what we're told about the second century, you have to understand that the first century religion, I'm talking about, you call it Christian, it was very Hebraic. You know, Paul said, I'm a Pharisee, after he was converted. And you
right.
see there that he's observing some obscure law in Acts 21 to prove that he keeps the law of Moses,
right,
which is not actually found in the Bible anywhere. He's shaving his head.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of the Nazarite law, but it's found nowhere in Scripture. Which tells us that not everything is in the Bible. It's been lost right there. And there's other things which I pointed out on the show I want right now. But if you look at like the Hebrew Roots Movement and Messianic Judaism, they have some things to bring to the table. But one thing you can see, you have to study now. You can see that there was some kind of, it was all basically truncated in the second century where... you didn't hear the church fathers talk about it. Basically, everything was Hellenized, you know, like Greek philosophy and Neoplatonism.
Right, yeah.
Influence. And there's a lot of good things in that. Don't get me wrong, okay?
Right,
but
it's definitely a pagan philosophy, whether it's, you know, it's more of a right-hand path, but it's definitely a pagan philosophy.
I'm saying this for a reason now, because this is something that, you know, that if we observe history, we can see this, okay? So, the religion, we're led to believe that the religion was radically changed in the second century and all these quote-unquote Jewish or Hebrew elements were excised from it. That's what we're supposed to believe. But stop and think about it, Justin. You would probably agree with me for various reasons that the Hebrews had the strongest traditions of any people on the planet. Now, you can make a case why they did. But if they did, those traditions would be the least likely in world history to just drop off the map that quickly. Now, what this tells us is that they're lying to us about the second century. Now, this cataclysm I place at the turn of the first and second century, but even if you don't believe that, you can see that they're lying to you about religion in the second century. Now, what I'm trying to say is that even if you don't believe in the cataclysm, in the medieval era, they could basically do whatever they wanted to do. Because you had no middle class, you had rules against people traveling, you had the serfs. They didn't have any knowledge about what was going on. They had to rely on troubadours or people that were traveling to tell them what was going outside their village. They didn't have a clue. So the common man was completely powerless, so the powers that be, they could just run wild and do whatever God allowed them, or space aliens or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right.
Well, guess
right.
what? That's exactly what they did, okay? So what I'm trying to say is that there was a new religion that emerged called Talmudic Judaism, which was radically different than Second Temple Judaism. And that's the religion we have today in Judaism. And another new religion emerged called, we could call it Constantinian Christianity. Okay? That religion was radically different than what we'll call first century Christianity. Another religion emerged called Manichaeism, which you're familiar with, which is kind of Gnostic. Another religion emerged called, we call it Gnosticism. Okay? Another religion emerged called Islam. Now, what I'm trying to say is that all these religions emerged at the same time, and they were all artificial constructs for a diabolical purpose. And they're just sitting there waiting for somebody to figure this out. But I'm saying that they were all created by the controllers.
Sure. Well, Islam, I mean, pretty much is...
And they all have
truth
in them, by the way, too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I believe that as far as Islam goes, I mean, there's a lot of proof that was created by the Vatican.
And let me take it one step further, okay? Now, what I'm going to say is that let's say like the devil or the Illuminati or whoever, okay? They're going to look at information and they're going to grade it on a hierarchical structure. In other words, this is more important to us or more valuable to somebody else. It's not all knowledge is not equal, okay? So the most valuable knowledge would be the priority list to try to remove from the people that are the greatest threats to them, okay? I'm saying that's exactly what they did. Now, what they did, they used the same old method all through history called guilt by association. A fantastic example of that is the Mormon Church. Because the Mormon Church has an amazing amount of what I call three-quarter truths that Christianity doesn't have, that I believe... That you actually find in the ancient Hebrew religion, which has largely been lost to us. Okay, but anyway, what they did is they took these highly coveted truths and they distributed them through Talmudic Judaism, Manichaeism, Gnosticism, Islam, and then they took them out of Christianity. Now, Christianity is actually a superior religion. These are more like they become like esoteric truths. Let's take an example, okay?
Right.
Something like the preexistence of the soul, which is overlaps with reincarnation, but can also be properly distinguished from it. Now, you see that after Origen was anathematized by Emperor Justinian, supposedly, okay, that doctrine just completely drops off the map. So you can see that Christians basically only contemplate things that are set in front of their laps. Because the Christology has had no modifications since the Council of Chalcedon in the 5th century, okay? And yet Protestant Christians actually say, and the Protestants themselves, the Protestant Reformers, they believe the Roman Catholic institution was satanic. And yet they didn't make any modifications in the doctrine of the Trinity or the doctrine of Christ, Christology. Does that make any sense to you?
No, it really doesn't.
There have been no modifications. All these centuries. And I tell you, there's something wrong with people. Actually, if you were listening earlier, if you look up in the sky and see a cloud behind the moon, you will know that there's something radically wrong with mankind. That they're basically, someone has made them stupid. Because there has to be some kind of an external force acting upon the human brain that people can be that stupid. Well, you already know they're stupid because... most people can't even acknowledge that there's a chemtrail in the sky if you point it out, right?
Right.
But it's true. We have a 100% success rate of people that we've kind of worked with. We kind of remind them, hey, remember, get out there. It's this is actually a good time right now. I'm not sure. It's reasonably close to a full moon. I mean, somewhere around there. I haven't looked. But there's a good moon out there. But yeah, I mean, once you see a good dark cloud behind the moon, then your reality is in severe danger of crashing. And that's like, okay, what else did they lie to me about? Because I don't know. Because that's about as big as it gets. It's bigger than 9/11. Because, like I said, that's the very fabric of reality. It always crashes. You almost have to start over. Because you can't trust the institutions. Because, see, always goes back to the same old thing. Is the political system, the politicians, are they stupid or are they corrupt? Or are scientific institutions stupid or are they corrupt? Well, it's not necessarily either or. Yeah, there's a lot of stupid people in there. They're called textbook repeaters. They can't think
of it. Well, I think that's what it is, that most of them just appeal to authority. And I think, you know, as far as politicians go, I'd say 95% of them are 100% corrupt. But then the other 5% are just the type that, you know, whether they're blackmailed or whatever. But even academia, though,
yeah,
you know, as far as these people go, though, that, you know, they're just a doctor that's giving out 40 vaccines to a baby doesn't know it's bad because, you know, that's what he's been taught. You know, if he did know, I'm sure a lot of them might change their ways if they really were. But if there's no peer-reviewed studies for them to trust, and that's what that's all that they go by, and who controls the peer-reviewed studies? So, I mean, you know, you're definitely onto something. I mean, as far as, you know, knowledge goes and how it's been passed down from the priest class to the public, you know, and that's what we have now is a modern-day priest class that doesn't really call themselves that, but that's what they are, you know.
Yeah, they have that function, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually say on here that doctors or some. Possibly the most mind-controlled people out there.
Oh, by far.
I mean, all they do is just repeat what the medical journals say. Because there's no motivation. It's a perks and punishment system, and if you go against that, you're going to be punished. And they just learn how not to think, because they're rewarded for not thinking.
Yeah, well, that's what it comes down to. And here's the thing. Maybe some of them, you know, they through the years of med school or whatever, they, you know, maybe they come to think, well, maybe this isn't 100% right or anything. By the time they're done with paying for med school and going through all that indoctrination, are they really going to go and buck the same system that they came out of and now owe all this money to and everything else? And, you know, that's what it's about now. And that's why, you know, when it comes to anybody that goes through anything in the academic system, if you're going, you know, you're not going to, you're not going to find work if you go against the system. So, I mean, it's, you know, how do you do that when, you know, even if you do become aware of some of the esoteric stuff behind it all, you know, it's insane.
Yeah, that's how they punish you in the money system, which obviously is all set up to control people. But, there's a growing, despite all this mind control and propaganda, there's a growing number of doctors, I actually believe, that are figuring it out. It's because of the Internet, you see. I mean, you don't have to try very hard. You can just basically stumble or back into this information. And they figure out that, wow, you know, a lot of what I'm doing, I'm actually, like, harming people. Because, stop and think, a drug is a chemical, okay? And a chemical is what? It's a poison. Now, certain chemicals or drugs can have short-term benefits, like, you know, jump-starting the heart, but there is no drug, I'm talking about a synthetic drug, and there is no chemical that has long-term benefits. That means that they don't heal anybody.
Right.
Do doctors claim to heal anybody? I mean, they know that. They know they don't heal anybody.
No, they treat. That's it. They treat.
Yeah, that's a common folk belief of the ignorant masses. And you notice the doctors now, this tells you something about doctors. Doctors know they don't heal anybody, but you notice that they don't actively communicate that to the patient. They allow that folk belief to be maintained. That tells you something about the truthfulness of doctors. Okay,
right.
So what I'm trying to say, there's a segment out of them that's actually growing. They know, just like politicians, you know, it's kind of complex. I mean, not everybody's Illuminati, obviously. So you've got people in the political field. I mean, they're sincere. They got in there because they wanted to change America, you know. And
right. And
they find out along the way through various means that they can't do that.
Right.
If they're extremely dense, the controllers will, through various means, tap them on the shoulder and basically let them know how the system really runs. And then from that point forward, just like a doctor, you have to decide, you know, I'm not here for the people. I can either keep doing this for my own benefit, but I can't help the people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because the system is against me. So you either get out of it as a doctor, become an alternative, you know, get an alternative medicine or something like that, or as a politician, you just have to leave.
Right.
And
as you were saying, too, you know, it's as far as that goes, a lot of them are blackmailed. And
absolutely.
You system,
how about that? Yeah.
Even the system in general, you know, for example, say you're an idealistic politician and you have the, okay, I'm going to go to Congress and I'm going to write a couple bills that are going to help my, you know, constituents. Well, what happens when you get there, you're not going to get any help for those bills unless you co-sign onto these other bills and play ball. Well, those other bills might be, you know, ones that are totally going to screw over everybody, but you have to take something home to your constituents and say, hey, I passed this bill or that bill, or I tried to, you know, to get reelected, or, you know, if elections are even legit. Let's say some of them are, some of them aren't. But, you know, like you said, you have to play ball. You can't just... you can't just be a renegade there. You're not going to last long. Like Cynthia McKinney, for example.
I say that name again.
Cynthia McKinney. She was a black woman from Atlanta, and she tried to, you know, she was a 9/11 truther. She was.
Oh, okay.
She did. She actually participated in one of the Gaza blockades, you know, in trying to bring them supplies and whatnot. And then she also was one of the people that broke how the Pentagon and I forget which company it was had all the child porn or whatever else on their computers. It was it wasn't Blackwater. It was another contractor like that was involved in that, the trafficking or whatnot. Well, what happened is they changed the rules in Georgia so that the next time she was up for re-election, they made it so that she was a Democrat, so the Democrats and Republicans could vote in her primary. So they made sure they put just some puppet lady against her, another black woman, I believe, and they just pretty much made sure that everybody went out and voted against her and just put this puppet in her place, and that's how they, you know. If not, if she did get in by some chance, they probably would have jailed her or killed her like they did Wellstone or, you know, whoever else, you know.
I'm curious, you familiar with the story of Rosa Parks?
Yeah, sure.
What do you think about that?
Well, I know that there was a, I believe it's definitely propaganda pushed by the NAACP, I mean, because
yeah.
There was a woman that years before that did it, and there was questions of her character, so that they didn't use her, and they used Rosa Parks like 2 or 3 years later. So, I mean, just knowing that off the bat is pretty obvious to show that that was planned, you know, type of action. So,
right.
And
I mean,
obviously,
of course,
I'm sure there's more to it. Go ahead.
People got all whipped up about had to do with the Deep South and segregation and all that stuff. I don't remember the exact specifics, but it had something to do with a bus, right?
Yeah, she got on the bus and she sat down after a hard day of working or whatever. A white man asked for her seat. She said no. They supposedly they went and called the cops, I believe, or you know, after she continuously said no, and I believe she was arrested for not giving up her seat, and that's how the civil rights movement started.
Mm-hmm.
Gave a big gust of wind to it.
As a deep conspiracist, and I don't know this, but I would be highly suspicious if the guy was involved as well, that it was manufactured. See, I think these events are manufactured because these guys are in a control. They don't wait for events to happen,
right?
To push their agenda along. They manufacture them,
right?
If you had the ability to do that, wouldn't that make common sense?
Oh, totally. No,
I believe
100%. See, I think like this, and I think 99% of them are manufactured, and then 1% of them may fit into, like, me personally, I think, like, the Mike Brown thing.
One thing
I
about
think,
them, Justin, they're impatient. Go ahead.
They are.
They don't like to wait.
Oh, Well, I was just going to say, like, personally, I find the Mike Brown and the Trayvon Martin ones to be totally phonies, but I think the Eric Garner one is most likely real. But mm-hmm. at the same time, it was used to bolster the Brown story. But either way, regardless, if it's not, you know, if we already have three fake stories and now they push a real one on top of it, you know, then what does it matter at that point, you know?
Yeah. I tell you, it's something else out there.
It's something, man. It's you know, when you finally realize, you know, realize that all this stuff is planned, and even the fact that they plan out the different groups of opposition beforehand, you know, we're not just talking about, like, look at 9/11, for example. That, you know, they invented the 9/11 truth movement. And here's a big question, too, is now most of that got most of us awake. Some people may have been awake beforehand, but it makes you wonder, why do they want a certain amount of people awake? You know, is it because they want a controlled revolution? You know, what is the point to all this? That's also maybe very suspicious, and maybe go back and look at a lot of the things that I thought were genuine or whatever over the years. Once I realized that there's so many plants in the movement, and there's, you know, and just the fact that they gave us the internet to find
ask you an interesting question to kind of pick your brain, and you kind of observe your own brain activity here when I ask you this question. Do you believe, and maybe you haven't thought about this, that they actually have a long-term agenda to make the public fully aware that they actually live in a system of control, and it's basically, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I definitely do think that there is,
they're on the way.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, and I think that there's either two possible things. Like I said, either there's the controlled revolution one, or there's the way of, okay, just shut up and deal with it type thing and live with it, you know, and either be a part of it or shut up type thing. I don't, you know, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting. If you sight a cloud behind the moon, that actually tells you that you are living in a system of control. You see, because it's statistically improbable to just explain everything away that, they're just corrupt and stupid, all the scientific institutions, just like the... We know that you can't explain everything away by stupidity. You know what I mean?
I mean,
a good example would be the U.S. government did a study back in the 1930s on measuring the amount of minerals in the soil, and they found that there was no minerals in the soil. And so ever since then, you can get this information like in a big library on like a little micro dish or something like that. Since that time, the U.S. government has known that little children are suffering from malnutrition. Now ask yourself this question. What have they done about it? I'll tell you what they've done. They said, eat from the four food groups. So they keep changing. You know, it's a food pyramid now, you know.
Right.
But basically, they're telling you, you know, you got to eat your fruits and vegetables, Justin. And so, yeah, so Justin's going to go to the store with frickin' wheelbarrows coming home so he can meet their daily requirements. Which are actually low compared to European.
Way. Real quick, to let you finish, but I just want to say, but you know what's a lot higher here is our carbon gluten intake. You know, that was always odd, you know, especially finding
how
bad wheat is for you and just the fact that our wheat nowadays...
Wheat is a weapon, that's what that is. Wheat is a weapon.
Yeah, it doesn't even resemble the ancient wheat that people used to eat back,
modified.
You know, 400 or 500 years ago. I don't even think it has the same DNA. Well, you know,
Justin,
whatever.
You need to watch television more. You're becoming a dangerous person.
How dare I, right?
Well, this is thought crime of the highest order now. You're
right.
A thinker, and that's absolute abomination. So we're going to have to punish you. You know that, don't you?
I'm aware of that. You must.
But anyway,
stay in the box.
Yeah, they're kind of interactive with us, by the way. We were talking about that. But anyway, I mean, if the government knows that Americans are suffering from malnutrition, then they're not stupid. So that means the only other possibility is, guess what? They're actually evil.
Right.
Yeah. They don't care about human beings.
Well, you know, here's another interesting point that pushes that, too, is don't you love the cereal and whatnot that's supposedly fortified with vitamin D. Well, most people don't realize that you can't even absorb. They just put shavings in there.
Right.
You know.
Metal shavings. There's your iron for you.
Yeah.
It's a joke. That's how much they despise us. You know, we're the little plebs, you know.
Yep.
And I call that anti-food. It's not real food.
No, it's not.
So you can't just call anything food. We don't believe that cardboard is food. But I tell you what,
right.
Some cardboard, at least theoretically, is more nutritional than some of this garbage that they throw out.
Food-like products is what I call it.
But no matter how much the food deteriorates, the media will still call it food, just like no matter how corrupt Christianity becomes, they'll still call it Christianity and they'll call it church. We need definitions, but we don't have them because we don't control the institutions that define
right.
them. We don't have authoritative institutions. So they're going to keep throwing these mind bombs as like Gnostic, Jew, all this crazy stuff. And the common man, this is one thing we know down through the ages, he does not do any significant research. So he's going to be the target of all this weaponized terminology. And he's going to be immersed in deep superstition as usual. It doesn't matter if you've got a laptop in your lap, because the average person, they don't have a clue is what to do with that laptop. You ever notice that?
You know, and that's the thing, too. And you know, and here's a big thing, too, that I think most people don't realize that has another job that's another biggest scam is, of course, we know the court system is messed up and, you know, and totally wrong and even unlawful as far as even going by our own laws. But the fact that you need to hire a lawyer, you know, a person of average intelligence should not have to hire a lawyer for really any case, because, you know, there's no reason you cannot speak for yourself besides the fact that they're speaking a different coded language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about going to the bar association, you know, to be a member of that club. And that's, you know, that's why lawyer, you know, it's the same type of thing where it's just, you know, okay, well, I trust the lawyer to do it. He's, you know, read the books and everything, but, you know, it's just another scam pretty much on, you know, on the average person.
You know, I actually think that this society is orchestrated around one scam, one hoax, and one deception after another, and most people don't either have the time or the intelligence to figure it out. I think they covered all the bases, and if I fall short of that, it's just because I haven't figured it out yet. I'm going to assume that everything else I haven't researched is operates the same way.
Yeah, that's where I go now too. Is as far as I just assume that what we're being told is wrong, you know, and as opposed to where, you know, normally you assume what we're being told is right. Well, if I haven't researched it thoroughly, I'm just going to assume it's wrong or it's backwards or it's a psyop, you know, or it's somehow been changed. Nothing we've been told is as it is. So I mean, this is, you know, going back how many years of what we can tell from when we had actual record keeping to when there wasn't record keeping, or when there was, you know, stuff was written in other languages that are, you know, dead or not, you know, really pushed, like Aramaic and stuff like that anymore. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
see, record keeping is important because we used to have reliable genealogies that were like preserved by the priesthood in the, you know, the Jewish temple. But we lost that. In the medieval era, the Roman Catholic Church, they didn't do that for us. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, you can't go around and prove that anybody is, it's obvious that a black man is a black man. We're not going to debate that. But as far as, you know, trying to prove that somebody is, you know, a quote-unquote Jew, whatever that is, somebody from a Judahite or whatever the heck, I don't
right.
believe that you can do that. And so the whole Jewish conspiracy would crash just with that fact alone.
Oh, totally.
Because it depends on fooling a simple person into believing that we can absolutely infallibly know who a Jew is. But we can't. Yeah, I believe it's impossible to prove.
No,
if
yeah,
they,
there's no way to tell by DNA records and not only that, but all the different tribes and everything that have come up and, you know, and they may dispute this fact or the other, and you know, and just the fact of you know, just the coming up with the chosen one stuff. I mean, you know, and they actually believe that, you know, and it's you know, but like you said, you know, these same people are not, you know,
they're a different tribe than what they claim to be, you know. So I mean, it's, I don't know,
yeah.
it's silliness, but yeah, continue.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things that depend on that, you know, because, you know, it has to do with chronologies, and you have to have the correct starting dates, and we basically don't have any authoritative documentation. You can look in the you know, Christian prophetic movement. Some people place a heavy emphasis on fulfillment in the first century. They're called preterists. But you'll see this mindless repetition of the 70 AD date over and over and over again. You can't prove any dates in the first century,
right,
or prove that anything happened in any particular date. In fact, I would go so far to say if you hear a repetition of a single date, that would be the least likely date that whatever they're trying to say happened at that date actually happened. You could forget that, you know, maybe it's 69 or 73, but it's not 70.
Right.
That's what you're hearing over and over again. Because, see, I believe in theological propaganda. And if Christians are the enemy, again, a secularist would deny that. He would think that's absurd. But, see, actually, if you believe in Illuminati down through the centuries, notice that their focus was on creating all this religious structure and everything. Why? If Christianity is not important, why'd they do that? And they'll have a different take on it. And some people say, Christianity was the Illuminati. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's...
You don't
want to
fall for that one.
Of...
Now, there's... I got to tell you, there's some truths in that. You've got to qualify what you mean by that. You know what I mean? Because I said earlier, the Roman Catholic Church was... Now, in my view, they were actually created by the Illuminati.
Oh, of course.
And they also infiltrated them increasingly.
And then any chance that they had to try to get off of the, you know, to try to break away was met with resistance. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
for example, like, you know, the Reformation and stuff like that. Or, you know, when people tried to right the ship some way, or even, you know, for example, Pope John Paul I was, you know, died ritualistically 33 days later with poison. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then obviously.
Well, supposedly, you see.
Yeah,
they
fake
so many deaths down to the centuries, we don't even know who's dying and who isn't.
Right. No, you're
right. He probably died. Probably a ritual murder, but we don't know for sure.
Right.
Did I hear inside the casket? Was I there? No.
Right, exactly.
So,
no, you're right. You're right. He may have retired to an island in Spain or whatever. You know, God knows where, you know, that's the thing about it. And it just like today, trying to prove these hoaxes, and a lot of people get caught up on... you know, well, where are the victims? Well, for one, we don't know that the victim, you know, a lot of them, the cases are actually real, or if they're just pictures of someone when they're younger, or if they're photoshopped,
right,
or, you know, or created, you know, and it's like people get caught up trying to do that, and that's the wrong angle. Just, you know, let's go with what we have. You know, that's what I think. You know, we're not going to prove that on the Dallas Cold Bug way that this person is that person,
yeah,
by looking at their ears. It's just silly, you know, so.
Well, what do you think that you can, a person can prove infallibly from a, you know, a computer image? Do you think you can prove anything infallibly?
From a computer image? No, not necessarily. I mean, nowadays,
I'm asking
the technology
that reason. To illustrate to some people who are not quite getting it. I mean, you can ruminate all you want. It really has to do with probabilities about what happened, not certainties. Because you got fakery and psyops within psyops.
Right.
We're not always able to see. It has to do with their psychopathic mind. And we don't always know their mindset. Now, I believe that they're black magicians.
Yeah, totally.
And the reason that they create so much fakery, and tell me if you've ever heard this before, so much fakery and so many hoaxes and scams and deceptions is because you have to think with the mind of a magician. Now, this is not
right.
This is an evil magician. Every magician takes great pride in the power of illusion. And this explains why sometimes they want to ritually murder, and sometimes they want to just create, we'll say it's fake, but it was an illusion. You won't hear the fakeologists talk about much illusion. They do talk about it, okay? But not so much from the perspective that it was the magician that created it with that mindset. In other words, he's taking great pride, it has to do with his ego, and just totally deceiving the ignorant masses.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes that's the motivation. You see that? We live in a society that's oriented around illusion.
Well, just to add something, I'll let you continue, but, you know, and that's the ritual to them, is when you have all these people that buy into it one way or another, you know, even if he's tipping his hand a little bit, you know, and that's obviously, magicians will do that as well, you know, even in a well-played card trick, you know, they may give you a piece of it to make you think that you have it, but for the most part, It's all part of their ritual, and they love the fact that only they know. You know, everybody can speculate and do all the research in the world, but unless you actually went and waterboarded, you know, Kissinger and Cheney or whoever else, you know, then you're not going to get to the bottom of it. And that's if they're actually real people and not some type of archons or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, over the years, I've developed my own terminology for everything because I don't like the terminology that's like force-fed to us. So I came up with the term Tier 2 propaganda, and that basically has to, if you reject what they tell you and search an alternative reality, then they've got the Tier 2 propaganda waiting just for you. And
right,
so I was just going to ask you what you think about Hitler.
The first inside of the onion layer, pretty much, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
If you think there's like an onion,
the next layer.
You know,
Alex Jones,
right.
There you go. You're confronted with him. And so, I mean, I'm sure you've probably been interested in this. I got to tell you, man, I don't know, but I'm going to ask you about Hitler. I mean, they tell us, you know, I mean, I'm seeing evidence now, this story that he went to Argentina.
Was
actually info, what I would call Tier 2 propaganda.
Right.
But you know something? I got to tell you where I'm at right now. I don't know. I'm just wondering, do you think you know, or do you got any insight on all that?
Here's my opinion on Hitler. Charismatic leader. I think he definitely was fighting what we would call the Illuminati at one point. And I think that there may have even been a switch. They may have even killed him at some point during the thing or gotten him away. I think it's a good possibility. And the thing is, if there was one Hitler, then that would make sense.
There you
because,
go.
You know, if, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, if you look at him, and supposedly people have said at one point he's got a Bavarian accent, another time he's got an Austrian accent. So, I mean, you know, there may have been two or three even.
He certainly had doubles. The question is, did he have doppelgangers? Now, on our show, we actually say that this is just an opinion. We actually think that doppelgangers are a clone.
It's very possible.
I used to go the supernatural route, and I eventually rejected it. It's just a theory.
No, I have nothing against the clone theory. But you know, even if say that, you know, they're not using that technology, or say maybe this person, say for instance, a charismatic leader pops out of the populace for some reason and actually overcomes the propaganda, and the people buy into it. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to jump on his coattails, you know, and they're going to put people around him that are going to try to sway him towards a certain way.
Yeah, they send
going
people to him, and ideally they try to give you a right-hand man.
Right, exactly.
That's
the case, too, if you look at Hitler, too. Now, here's a guy that economically, what he was doing the first couple of years was right on point with what you would want to do to rescue a country who had been torn to shreds after the Versailles Treaty.
Well, they
you know,
had to do a lot of things right in order to get to recover so quickly.
Right, right. So, I mean, you know, but then his what do you call it? He had a falling out with his economics. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. And then they put in somebody else, and all of a sudden this guy goes and starts getting loans from outside of Germany, and now there's there didn't used to be usury, you know, towards the country at least. Yeah, there was taxes and whatnot to go towards, you know, paying for the German army and whatnot. But it wasn't like, you know, they weren't just to take, you know, and it seemed more honest than that. But then it seems all of a sudden, you know, the new guy that came through, he started borrowing from the same, you know, not the Rothschild, but, you know, the same bankers, you know, maybe not the Rothschilds per se, but
And then, so, you know, pretty much started putting them back into the, you know, into the clutches of the, you know, the world banking system. And, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, well, obviously we know why, you know, he that was used to create Israel and everything else. And you know, I mean, it just the whole thing about it too. I mean, even him, supposedly he tried very hard to actually, you know, to work out a deal, because there's no doubt about it. He didn't like Jews. He blamed them for selling them out in World War One, and not for nothing. But you know, according to a lot of research I've done, they did that. The World Zionist Organization, and many were German, went against their back when, you know, and they met with Bernard Baruch, and they were promised Palestine by England in order to get the U.S. into World War One. So if that's the case, you know, then obviously they realized that, and they said these people are traitors, and just like anybody else, you know, they were trying to get rid of them one way or another, and things get stymied, and they ended up in the camps. But regardless of you know, because it's really weird that America wouldn't take these political prisoners, and this other countries wouldn't take these so-called political prisoners, you know what I mean? So it makes you wonder, but I think there was a switch involved with Hitler. You know, I think that there was, you know, and here's the thing.
Do you think they yanked him early, and this second Hitler was running the show in the latter years?
Yeah.
Or months, excuse me, months.
No, I think like, you know, probably after the war started, or sometime in 1939, something like that. And here's the thing about
it. When do you think he got yanked?
Sometime 1939 through
that early, huh?
39 or 41, yeah.
Wow.
Because, I mean,
what do you think happened to the original Hitler?
Who knows? He may have been put in a gulag. He may have been killed.
Yeah, same
he may
as
have been,
you know, same as the real Paul McCartney, and we don't know.
Exactly. You know, and here's
another thing. I'm skeptical there was even Iraq. I mean, how do we know?
Right, right. Well, you know, that was a whole what do you call it? You know, a whole Tavistock thing to get everybody. You know, I'm sure you're up on Dave McGowan's study on that. You know, that century. I mean, that decade's music, the '60s music of how they, you know, created a counterculture purposely.
Yeah.
You know, going back to Hitler real quick, you know, think about it. What does everybody look at? Just as long as the hair goes that way and the mustache is a certain way, that's all you see. You know what I mean? You're not going to look too deeply into the. In it. You have a guy that looks pretty much like him. Okay, that's Hitler. You know what I mean? Some guy yelling in German. Okay, that's Hitler. You know.
Well, they have doubles for every significant historical figure going way back. That's my understanding. I'm sure they have.
Oh, totally.
Nero,
they even
like that. Sure.
Yeah, they I mean, they even admit it. They admit that they personally, you know, that's one thing that even mainstream history admits, that there's doubles for, you know, for all these guys and everything. So, I mean,
even
that.
If you're in a position of power and you just like to party a lot and you're going, I don't want to show up for the people. I don't want to, you know, be there. I don't want to go to the Colosseum. Send out the other guy.
Right, right.
Because people are far away enough away, they can't tell. And I'm just going to party on here, you know, keep drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, you don't feel good, or, you know, because think about it, back then even maybe, you know, if, say, somebody was sick or had something wrong with them, you know, and they couldn't get out of bed, well, they don't want to show that their leader is sick or whatever the problem may be, or, you know, or
exactly.
So send the
that's
other guy.
That's right there,
You know, and that's the problem with it. I mean, you know, like you said, it's you know, we're told all this stuff, but you know, how are we supposed to accept any of it when everything that we know nowadays is fake? And it seems like the farther back we go, we can prove that so much stuff is fake, you know, or staged, or we're not told the truth of it. So I mean, you know, really, it's hard to discern. You know, that's the biggest thing about it is discernment. You know,
so don't you believe that these figureheads are just put out there for public consumption? Going all the way back to like the pharaohs and stuff like that. They always had some kind of a hierarchy that stood behind them that was actually running the show that they had to answer to.
Oh yeah. Do you really think that these people that have run the world for that long would put all the eggs in one basket of one guy that could change his mind or go crazy or whatever? No, of course not. You know.
Yeah,
so,
I kind of say that Obama is a stupidity test. Not only test how intelligent you are by how many times do you mention that name during the course of a year. In other words, the people that mention that name more are obviously
yes.
less intelligent. But also,
yeah,
do you realize how stupid you'd have to be, Justin, to actually believe? And they promote this in movies. Sometimes you got to have a reality check and go, my God, I forgot how stupid Hollywood is. Hollywood is still promoting, kind of like the Independence Day, PSYOP, which they keep running over and over in movies. The American president is the most powerful man on earth.
Right,
that's
right.
That's laughable. Isn't that incredible?
No,
still promote
it is.
That.
You know. Here's my stick of telling if somebody's an idiot or not, too, or if they just haven't done the research. If they love Obama or hate Obama, then you're part of the problem. You know,
yeah.
you know that's how
if
I look
you
at
react
it. Oh, you're
to
right.
him.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even worth reacting to.
Like that was like me. Like when the election happened, you know, the last election when he beat Romney and something, and I didn't bat an eye either way. It's all right. And I had friends call me and say, hey, what do you think? You know, because a lot of my friends, they know that I'm in the I study this stuff a lot. What do you think about Obama getting reelected? I said, well, I don't know. It doesn't really change anything, does it? So, well, what do you think about Romney? You know, no, it doesn't change anything. You know, why do you, you know, just like you said, like Independence Day, do you think he's really going to be the one flying the plane or what? You know, whatever else? And like you said, the most powerful man on the earth? Come on, you know. That's an affront to anybody's intelligence.
Yeah,
you know?
It's an insult.
It
and
is.
Yet that's what, I would have to say that less and less people believe in that, but apparently there's enough of them, they still have not decided to go with that scenario. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I'm in some debate groups on Facebook, and most of the time when politics are mentioned, I don't really even get into it. There's some people, I would say, maybe about 20% that believe, you know, that are somewhat on the right page as us. None of them are anywhere near in depth as what we've studied or, you know, but maybe 20 of them realize that there's no difference, 20%. And the rest are all, you know, Obama this, Obama that, or the Democrats this, the Republicans that. And it really makes you want to rip my hair out of it sometimes, you know. And I like to stay in there just to get, because I get the pulse of the, you know, the country as far as what other people are thinking about
just
each
like listening
and every,
to talk radio shows that are like patriotic and political.
Right.
Exactly. I actually don't do that anymore, but.
well, that's the thing. I used to, you know, do my sheep checks. I used to watch CNN for a half hour. I used to watch Fox News for an hour.
That's
MSNBC
actually worth it. A half hour CNN, that's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know,
it, just for the sheer comedy.
That's what it's all turned into. And all of them are this. I mean, CNN is, they're very blatant with it. But even, you know, when you listen to the opinions of, you know, these pundits on any of them, and you just take one example, for example, say Ferguson, and you hear what they're saying on MSNBC, where it's like, you know, well, we're looking at it like, okay, Mike Brown thing probably didn't even happen. They're looking at it as like, oh, you know, MSNBC is looking at it as this innocent black man was killed, he had his hands up. And then CNN is looking at it, and they're kind of giving you the same thing, but they're not pushing it as much. Then Fox News, he's this evil black kid that you know, wanted to kill cops and this and that. You know what I mean? It's, and people fall right in line with whatever they're predisposed to believing, you know?
Well, that's what we do in cultures when we're born into different cultures. You could be a Satanist, a New Ager, a Jew, a fundamentalist Christian, or an atheist. And if you are born in American culture, it's amazing how many things you'll have in commonality with someone who's born in a Muslim culture or a Japanese culture. All these commonalities.
Sure.
We're a product of our environment, you see. And most people will only ponder what is set in their lap. So if something is not set in their lap, like say when I talk about the preexistence of the soul, which is not talked about in Christianity anymore, it's because it's not there sitting in your lap to ponder. So we don't talk about that.
Right. Right. Well, you know, here's another thing too. You know, I tell a real story from a fake story on the news. A real story will be a passing blurb. They may say it on the national news. They may say, you know, may be just on your local news. Oh, this man was killed so-and-so, even by a cop or whatever. If there's no political motivation behind it and it isn't staged, then that'll get, you know, maybe, two or three mentions. If it's staged and fake, then that's all they're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
it's very
uh-huh.
simple way to discern the news, you know.
Well, the whole thing has got so out of control now that if you watch CNN, it looks like they're just crying out, you know, that this is fake, this is fake, you know, this is fake. To the people that are looking, they actually want you to know.
No, they do. They, like you said, they're tipping their hand. You know, they want to see, you know. I think that's another thing, too, that I didn't mention earlier when we were talking about it, about how, like, you know, maybe when I was saying maybe they want a revolution or maybe they just – well, I think
make
that they also
angry.
When
I'm everybody's different, and media fakery makes me laugh. I think it's comical, but you notice that other people makes them angry. In fact, that's their first reaction. What? They've been lying to me like that because I've been taken for a fool. You know what I mean? Yeah, makes people
totally.
Angry.
Well, because a lot of people, you know, if they put all of their emotion into this event, you know, just like 9/11, I believe the official story for about, you know, for a year or so. Then I went on the Made It Happen. You know. Made It Happen on Purpose, or Let It Happen on Purpose. Then I went into, it was an inside job. Then I went into the media fakery stuff later on. But I was offended at the time too that I bought all that stuff. So I mean,
yeah, I've heard people say, well, I think Tim up in Toronto, he got
sure.
it. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm, you know, that's what I was saying though is it, a lot of this stuff. I think also too that the controllers are trying to see. They're trying to gauge how many people are awake and how many people are and where it is. And I think it's a game to them at some point. You know, they want to see how many people have figured it out, 20% or how many people are going to the left or to the right, side of the story, how many people are going to the first conspiracy theory onion layer, or how many people are going to the it's fake layer. You know, they want to see that, and they want to see, you know, the dialogue is and whatnot that gets talked about these stuff, you know.
You can tell if someone's very interested in all that.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know,
I think they're even influenced. I mean, the whole voting thing is a complete scam in my perspective. But at the same time, you would think that they wouldn't be even interested in, you know, influencing people how to vote. But I believe that they're very interested in that.
Oh, sure. That's their biggest what's the word I'm looking for? What do you call it? Test. You know, to see. To see who's still playing the game, you know, and to see who's still casting their vote for this one or that one, and that lets them know, okay, we got to go a different angle next time to get more people into it. And that's what Obama was about, you know, because how many people were disenfranchised after Bush, you know, and all of a sudden here comes the Great Black Hope, and he's going to, you know, do all this stuff. And then he hasn't done none of it, and the fact that he still has supporters, these people have to be laughing their butts off. You know what I mean? It's the fact that he said he was going to repeal the Patriot Act and stop the wars, and he started more wars, you know, not him, but them, but, you know, under his name. The fact that they did all this stuff, and people are still supporting him no matter what, and say, well, the Republicans are, what's the word? They're getting in the way, or, you know, but... I don't know. It's all sorcery, man. That's what it comes down to. It's very sick sorcery, you know, down to the color of the president's tie and everything else. You know, the azure blue and the crimson red. And, you know, that's another thing too that a lot of people, you know, haven't realized yet either is how much these colors matter, you know, the red
Absolutely.
And the blue and the purple and, you know,
that's
and the green.
That Christians are basically clueless about is color symbology. And it's interesting that the Illuminati uses the same colors as the Bible or traditional religion or just ancient traditional usage of colors. They don't deviate. It's the same. I mean.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple once you figure it out. I mean, purple is royalty, and,
right. And you know,
white,
look at all the
purity. Now they will reverse it. They'll reverse black and white, okay, but they still acknowledge that white is purity,
right?
And you know, black,
right? Well, everything that's bad is, you know, the black market or the black, you know, the black, you know, whatever. It's but like you said, it's the. Black represents chaos, and white represents purity.
Now, we were talking on the podcast, the last one, that one of the most obscure colors is actually orange, because that has to do with sex, and a lot of people don't know that.
And that's the House of Nassau, which is the Dutch, which is also very big with the, with that as well, orange.
Yeah. But it basically has to do with I don't like to call them chakras.
But the feminine and the masculine type thing.
Yeah, I call them energy vortexes. So the Christian gatekeepers will pursue me at a slower pace.
Yeah, you say chakras. Oh, that Wayne's, he's a new ager. You know, this guy's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the thing is, how that's the thing about the mainstream. You know, even the mainstream Christian truthers, the fact that they, a lot of them have studied this stuff and they know it, but they won't admit this stuff to be true about the energies and what. You know, I mean, yes, they recognize energy and whatnot, but they don't recognize it in every form. You know, or the fact that.
Right, well, people acknowledge lunar energy and its influence on biological entities, and they also acknowledge that we need the life of the sun, but then they shut down after that.
Right.
They won't acknowledge anything more. Or they actually won't apply that, you know, the lunar energy on a practical level. We've talked about that over and over again. So I'd like to go back to Hitler, because we have a young audience that's very open-minded. And I think they're interested in that. But so you're maybe you're just like me. You don't really know what happened you already said it. You don't know.
Well, no, I don't know. But as far as Hitler goes, though, I definitely think he was misunderstood. You know, and I think the original anyway. You know, and there was a period though too where
you can see that he's demonized on the History Channel.
Right.
No matter how evil he was, he's actually less evil than what he is on the History Channel.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too. And you see all these things about Hitler, but yet, do you see the same amount of things about
American
Stalin?
American propaganda, go ahead.
Yeah, well, but you know what's weird, though, too? Is, I mean, Stalin at least, and this is mainstream numbers, Stalin has at least twice as many kills of his
Absolutely.
Own people or as Hitler does. And yet, we don't have History Channel doing a Stalin week,
yeah.
You know, or
they're
doing
in now. No, I'm not trying to be overly skeptical, but now I actually say you can't trust any numbers except for like a 7-day work week.
Oh yeah, no, it's.
Here's the
numbers
thing, Justin.
Are skewed. You're right.
When it comes to history, because they're in control, and because they can. They will tweak it, at the very least, they'll tweak it up or tweak it down. They just won't give you the straight truth, unless they have to.
Right.
Because, see, these are evil black magicians, and to them, good is bad and bad is evil. So to them, because they have their own ethical system, you see. So telling a lie, well, that's a good thing.
Right.
Everything's reversed in their philosophy. And you have an ethical belief system. And so it doesn't make sense to tell the truth unless... You can get them. It works as a tool to get them to swallow something else. I mean, we know this. So the basic principle is, no, they don't tell us about the truth about history unless they have to. And the question is, the only reason they would have to, you're going to have to manufacture some kind of wider system where you have authoritative aliens that are communicating with them, and they're bringing the hammer down occasionally and go, hey, you got to tell the people the truth. The question is, why don't they do that very often? Or you have a God that's allowing all this evil to go on, which is what I believe in, which is actually a bigger problem because he's supposed to be a holy God. That gets you into big problems philosophically, trying to get out of that that big hole.
Now, I've heard people talk about, obviously you guys know the Yahweh, you know, the tetragram and everything for that. I've heard people say that that's a different God than the actual God, as far as, you know, that
what
that
you're doing,
thought.
You're drawing a sharp distinction between El Elyon and Yahweh.
Right.
Yahweh would be like basically a lofty Elohim.
Okay.
And I'm very familiar with that view. There's no way to actually prove it,
right.
Unfortunately. It's very intriguing. You're going to have to rely on, because it has contradictions. Now, here's something that's interesting, because you do have theological propaganda that actually carries over the text, because there's a significant difference between the Masoretic text and the older Septuagint and the Samaritan Pentateuch, which has significant corruption problems, to say the least. But then again, it often agrees with the Septuagint and, of course, the Dead Sea Scrolls. In other words, they will testify against the Masoretic text, which is a late text. It's not even from Christians. And, of course, I'm going to have a conspiratorial view called the Masorite, about the Masoretes. And the first question I'm going to ask, do they even exist? Can we prove it? We can't. So all your foundations are going to be built off of that. And they're going to be very nebulous, to say the least. But it's going to have an authoritative text for a religion that the Illuminati, that what they're doing, they're creating an artificial sheepfold. Okay, because God destroyed a theocracy. Okay, this is a historical event as far as we know. When Jerusalem was destroyed in the first century, and the Jewish temple and their whole religion, priesthood, everything like that, okay?
Well,
after that, I mean, I think it's safe to say the God of the Bible did not replace it with another theocracy. You actually had a God-ordained institutional system, but an institutional system did emerge. It's called the Roman Catholic Church. You see that?
Right.
And that did not come from God. Now, that institutional system, whatever you may believe about the Bible, is actually prophesied in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, and it gives two distinctive doctrines that were contrasted with traditional Judaism. They would forbid women to marry, and they would forbid certain foods, which these were foods that were allowed by the law of Moses. And that's exactly what the Catholics did. They said you couldn't eat meat, you could only eat fish on a Friday.
Right.
They actually have a movie out there called Goya's Ghosts, where a woman, she fails to hold up to that standard, so they hang her upside down, and they start to torture her. That's what the movie
is. Oh, yeah, that's some synchronicity right there, because I just ran across, for some reason, that popped up somewhere today, that Goya's Ghost movie or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It popped up somewhere on my internet page. You know, like I was researching something, and that came up. I don't remember what it was, but that's interesting. I grew up as a Catholic, by the way, doing that, eating fish on Fridays and everything.
Yeah. But, yeah, I believe that religion is prophesied there, but it's a false religion.
Oh, it is, no doubt about it.
And so if you believe that Christianity is one true religion, then your religion emerged out of a false religion in a system of control somehow. But notice that Christians never talk about this.
Right, because,
it's like
because
it happened by
magic. Everything that's come out of there, whether it's the Orthodox or the Protestant, has come out in protest to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. Protestants have no idea how much they actually inherited from the Roman Catholic Church, because the Western Church has a lot of universal commonalities in contrast to the Eastern Church. And you can tell that people are basically, they don't know how to think straight, because when you go to, like, one of these local churches in popular Christianity, we call it a Protestant church, one of the first things they learn is that, you know, the Roman Catholic Church is evil. You know what I mean? But you can sit there for 60 years and they'll never say one single thing about the Eastern Church, which is huge and vast. And there's an example again, Justin, where people ponder things that are set in their lap. See, they don't do research.
Right.
So when someone talks about it, they go, oh, yeah, the Roman Catholic Church. They don't talk about the Eastern Orthodox Church.
Right.
And you can see that in movies. You see the propaganda? I can only think of one movie off the top of my head, you know, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. They actually had an Eastern Orthodox priest. But here's how you know, you absolutely prove statistically through redundant patterns that they are pushing propaganda about religion and propaganda about Christianity. And here's how you do it. And no one can prove it wrong. So all of us has tapped into Illuminati media. We've absorbed all that. So let's go look at the database. You will notice that when they represent Christianity in movies, I would say over 95% of the time, they represent it as Roman Catholicism or Roman Catholicism.
Always. It's very rarely. And think about it. Up until a few years ago, I mean, I had no idea about, you know, how the Russian Orthodox, you know, or like, you know, the Eastern Orthodox Church, that, you know, even though they do share a lot of the similarities, you know, how different they are, because I had never heard, you know, never heard of it until I started looking into various theologies and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, what you have there is Western-centric propaganda. And in order for propaganda to be effective, it must be simple, because it's directed at the common man. The common man, he can't deal with complex matters. So if it wants to be effective, keep it simple, and just take the whole Eastern thing and just truncate it. And a good example of this is the Parthian Empire. If we can believe at all what we're told about history, they were actually contemporaneous with the Roman Empire, and supposedly they actually defeated the Roman Empire. But
right.
They were a vast empire in the east that basically covered Alexander the Great's...
Right, all the way down into Egypt, right.
And
down in Cyprus and Crete and all those...
Yeah.
Because they folded the Hellenistic in, correct?
Yeah. You're always hearing about Rome this and Rome that. Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Catholic Empire. What do you ever hear about Parthia?
No, you don't.
You don't hear nothing when you go to school, because they don't want you to know. And basically, it's not so much that they're trying to cover up Parthia. They're just trying to keep it simple. Keep it simple,
right.
Stupid. If you're stupid,
that's it.
Just
that's
believe
it.
What you're told and move on.
Right. Work your 40-hour week, take your conventional medicines, and vote and shut up.
Yeah. Well, if you could break these subliminals down on the television, they're pretty simplistic, you know.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Eat more food, sleep more, have more sex, hate God, obey the government, love Obama, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the CIA was busted down in Australia years ago. Some of the stuff came out on the table, and that's actually what these subliminals said. They're very simple, kind of like a staccato type blurb, you know. Two word sentences. Back to Hitler, though, real quick. So anyway, do you think that he was actually a bastard son of the Rothschilds?
No, I think that's disinformation.
You think that's tier two propaganda?
Yes, Truth or 101.
Well, there's no way to prove it.
Right. And that's
I have stated that on this show, and I have to say, because I've done some thinking, there's no way anybody can prove that. And that's
right.
Probably disinfo.
No, as far as I've come along, you know, and that's here's my opinion on that, where that stems from is the truther mentality that... Because we all know, yes, the Third Reich created Israel. Okay, so for that to be true, then
it's
you have to say, well,
go ahead.
That every single leader has been, you know, part of the plan the whole time. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, Hitler, you know, yes, okay, he did what he did. But he did it, you know, because he was, you know, an agent of the Rothschilds, and he was a bastard son of them. And his mother actually did supposedly, you know, if we're going to go by history, worked at a Jewish person, you know, a rich Jewish person's manor. But there's no mention of it being the Rothschild and,
right.
Or anything like that. And you would think almost, and we've heard the thing that even that Hitler might have been part Jew. That's possible. But as far as the Rothschild stuff, I don't believe that. I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen any real stats on that, and I would think that, you know, that there would be somebody to dig up some type of revisionist, you know, information on it if it was true, you know. So I mean, I don't believe that.
Well, what do you think about the so-called Nazi polar myths, you know, in Antarctica? We're
well,
really kind
I,
of talking about the same thing, aren't we? We really don't know,
right?
For sure,
right? Well. I think obviously, like, you know, like we were talking about earlier, I mean, I think a lot of the Antarctica stuff, you know, has to do with, I don't want to say flat earth because you said the correct term earlier. But, you know, just as active Antarctica, I think there's vast, you know, military bases there, probably to make sure nobody crosses it or no, you know, and for whatever other reasons. you know. But as far as the Third Reich going there, I mean, it's very possible, and maybe that was another reason why they, you know, why they were, you know, thrown to the wolves. I mean, it's hard to say, but I would just say that as far as you know, because that was supposedly a thing that, you know, where they supposedly were looking all over the globe to prove that the Aryans were the master race. By, you know, they went to India, and they went to northern Tibet. You know, they supposedly took all these missions all around to collect artifacts, and, you know, to prove this stuff. And I don't know if that was actually the goal of that, or if that's just propaganda. But I don't know. As far as it goes, though, it's I don't know. It, you know, you have to wonder, you know, why are certain people so demonized? You know, and obviously makes you want to look deeper into them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if the Nazis went to Antarctica, now there is some evidence for this with their submarine movements.
Oh, definitely.
How do we have access to that kind of information? But anyway. But if they did, I mean, that was all approved by somebody that was, you know, more powerful. You can't just go down to Antarctica and do what you want to do. I don't care who you are.
Right. Well,
because all the governments are run. You know, see, I go back, way back to ancient Sumeria, Egypt, and the Indus Valley. The kingship was created by, you know, the controllers, the overlords.
Right.
For the very beginning, it didn't change.
Right, so Sumeria is the earliest possible thing we can go by. The
mm-hmm.
Sumerian texts have shown that nothing has changed since then, you know.
We're talking about a post-diluvian society, apparently. You probably believe in a great flood?
Yeah, I believe there was possibly a great flood. I think there's evidence to prove there was.
Okay, yeah. 'Cause I'm going to appeal to traditions around the world which appear to vindicate each other, you know. In a holistic sense, it appears that we disagree on who's running the show, though, as far as like Britain and Germany. Oh, well, the other eight. Well, I'll get to that, but I was going to ask you another question about Hitler. Do you think that he was a British, an agent of British secret intelligence?
I think he was an agent of the Jesuits. I think that Pope Pius was in his back pocket. I think obviously but here's the thing, though. It's when you have the Jesuits supposedly, you know, controlling the crown as well, you know, it's really just the Hegelian dialect again. You know what I mean? When you have really just playing two sides against each other, and, you know, I mean, yeah, sure, maybe there's some, you know, definitely there was some beef between the, you know, between Germany and Britain, but, you know, how far does it really go? And, you know, that's I don't know, that's really just, you know, when you look at his supposed ties to Pope Pius XII, and you know, when he even talked about the Jesuits, he said that I forget the quote about the Jesuits, but he talked in high esteem of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I my opinion, though, too, it makes you wonder about the Jesuits, for example. You know, we've heard that
I think they're very powerful.
Oh, no doubt about it. But here's my question, though, is are they actually still, you know, part of the Roman Catholic Church, like, you know, the same thing, or have they been taken over?
Good question.
And my thinking is this. Ignatius of Loyola was supposedly a crypto-Jew from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, that would kind of make sense to where, you know, we are nowadays, to where even if the Jesuits were steering this to create Israel, which in the end, you know, the modern state of Israel, if we look at prophecy, if they're playing up Bible prophecies, in my opinion, they're using the prophecies as a playbook, you know.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So think about that, whereas, you know, is if they want their third world war over Israel, so they have both sides playing along with it, you know, maybe you know, but in the end, you know, everybody's going to get killed except for this, you know, the elite, the priest class that's going to be hiding underground or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
what's that?
Well, I'm real big on, I mean, I've got terminology for everything, so I call it subterranean.
Sure.
An advanced technological realm down there, because they could. It's basic common sense. Why wouldn't they do that?
Are you referring to like the actual Hollow Earth type thing?
Well, you can actually distinguish between those two, and there's different types of Hollow Earth theories, because the ancient view is that the so-called underworld is just simply cavernous, and it was kind of honeycombed enough that would actually be a form of quote-unquote Hollow Earth theory, which was the traditional view in Judeo-Christianity and the ancient world. In the Western world in the time of Protestantism. In other words, they believed the same thing as the Greeks, that there was a literal cavernous underworld, and everything changed. That is a form of a Hollow Earth view, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm distinguishing between what I'll call subterranean, which is advanced civilization, that's closer to the Earth's surface, in the Hollow Earth. Now, I actually believe, I'm a Hollow Earther.
Yeah, me too.
And but I believe that's farther down. We don't believe more. Yeah.
Right, right. But,
now,
but
there's
you're
a lot of propaganda
more
about Hollow Earth.
Crust, or whatever.
A lot of propaganda about that subject. I've had a lot
of. Oh, sure. Well, it's just like the same thing with the sun and same thing with the moon. You know, when you look into these things. Now, what do you think about the moon being artificial or being, something towed there?
The thing about me and Connie, her name is Ancient Lady, and she actually had an ancient perspective before I met her, because people would just say, oh, she just repeats whatever Dave says. You know, she's a real thinker. But she already had that perspective, and see, as a devolutionist, you're always going to appeal to the ancient past, because that's basic common sense. Everything's deteriorating. There's something significant back there that you want to reach back for. You see, and so in the ancient world, nobody believed in this crazy stuff. When people start to wake up and realize you can see a cloud behind the moon with a naked eye, they're going to create theories about holographic moons and holographic clouds, but nobody in the public sector is going to be able to infallibly prove any of that. It will always remain an unprovable theory to their frustration. Started to point out earlier, and I didn't quite finish the point, but seeing a cloud behind the moon does prove that we live in a system of control. You see that? Because there's no way you can explain all this away with just institutionalized stupidity. You know what I mean?
Right. There's no way if it's that high and above the atmosphere that you would be able to see a cloud which is atmospheric.
Well, you start thinking about this at a significant level, it'll completely blow your mind. We got all this technology, so obviously people know. They know perfectly well. I mean, they are orienting. If you believe in a hollow earth and a cloud behind the moon, you're real big on believing that they orient, the flight of planes a certain way to cover up certain things. Because they have to. They don't have a choice.
Right.
So they do. I mean, it comes down to whether there's a cloud behind the moon or not.
Well, just like my friend James, Brian was saying earlier, he's coming to the U.S. He lives in New Zealand. He's got to go the long way. He's going to go to the West Coast first and then to the East Coast. Makes no sense as to why he couldn't just fly maybe to Africa and then over to the East Coast or whatever,
Yeah, I'm not an expert on this, but one of the ways you can infallibly prove that they're lying to you about the Earth being a sphere is you investigate the time it takes to fly certain routes. The timing is all off. There's no way you could possibly salvage it. Just a huge hulking wreck. So people aren't really paying attention to that. I just learned about that recently. But also you got to understand, they've got all this stuff out there. Like Richard I call him Hoaxland, Richard Hoagland. He's going on and on about the 19.5, latitude. And we hear about, these conspiracy theories, which I have, promoted myself. That they do all these interesting things along the 33rd degree parallel, like atomic testing. You kind of, roll your eyes at that one. But they actually get very interesting. Jerusalem, which I actually believe is fake. I don't believe that's real Jerusalem. Okay? But the fake Jerusalem is on the 33rd degree parallel. And there's a lot of interesting things that happen there, historically. In other words, they're taking events and deliberately manufacturing them on that parallel. But here's the thing.
Right.
That cannot, the whole parallel latitude is fake. You see?
Right. Because there's no, it's not a globe, so the lines wouldn't go like that, correct?
Completely fake. Now, somewhere there actually is a 33rd degree parallel. And nobody knows where it's at. Isn't that
something? Wow. You know, that would be interesting to figure that out, because that would probably clear up a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. You also have a cartography conspiracy that has to do with maps.
Just,
and they're going
even just the size of planets, is that, the size of continents and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, you can see now, if the Earth is not a sphere, then the shape and size of Greenland, like Africa, it would be significantly changed.
Right.
And Russia is significantly smaller. That's one of the basic things. You know, it looks kind of, and so is Canada. They're both smaller.
Hmm. That's interesting. Because you look at them like huge, huge land masses, but that would make sense.
They're artificially stretched down. And, you know, they didn't tell us the truth because they didn't have to.
Right.
And they had, you know, they didn't have to do this. You know, a long time ago, somebody decided that they were going to lie to us about our cosmology on a radical scale. In doing that, now this is my view, okay? I believe, because I approach it from more of a biblical perspective, and I could create arguments on why you should think along these lines as well, that eventually they would have to tell the truth, okay? Now here's the thing, this is very, very important. Do you realize what's going to happen when the common man starts to figure out that you can physically sight a cloud behind the moon with your naked eye? Remember, I have 100% sex sex rate, success rate, okay?
Hmm.
They are going to be forced to admit that they have lied on some level. Now, this is true, and that all goes back, Dave. You know, this is getting really important.
Now a quick question about the cloud and the moon. What do they use to explain this anomaly to, say, anyone that looks it up on the internet? You know, what does their debunking site say?
Okay.
You're not seeing
what
it.
What they do, when a threat emerges, they always do the same thing. Initially, they ignore it, okay? Because you don't want to address the issue, because that will simply bring attention to it.
Right, right.
So that's what they're doing right now. Now, they got a few bozos on YouTube talking about it, but they're like clueless. They're talking about holographic clouds and moons, but they don't know what to do with it. They're like, have you seen this? What do you think? You know, asking questions.
Right.
Now, people have theorized that they're trying to neutralize what's about to happen. That's a theory, I don't know. But basically that's the only thing you can do, is go that route. So eventually they will be forced to address the issue, and I believe that they will, you have the scapegoating principle. Let's take an example. Now, you probably are thinking along the lines that I am, that on some level they're going to have a quote-unquote fake alien invasion be staged.
Yes.
Because the propaganda is just telling this over and over again. Psychic driving media. Okay. So now my theory is that these fake aliens are going to show up and say, we've come to deliver you from guess who?
From Illuminati. From our rulers. Right. Exactly.
Illuminati. The evil Illuminati. Now, the true technological priesthood, which are biologically superior transhumans and subterranean, in my view, you do whatever you want with them. You see, whoever has the power, the technology, they should be biologically superior. Therefore, they'd be transhumans. You see that?
Right.
They are going to, they're the untouchables, you know, the gray men. They will move on just as they always do. The only way you can get at them is if you have a being that's superior to them that deals with the issue. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen to them. They will sacrifice the lower hierarchy. And you'll have a lot of scapegoats on the surface, and you'll have a lot of apologizing and a lot of red faces, because all of our scientific institutions will be shown to be a sham.
Right.
Now, this is all based on one thing. Is it true that you can see a cloud behind the moon? But it starts to get really important, see. And my reputation, by the way, is basically staked on this. This is either, there's no middle ground. This is either very significant or I'm going to make a fool out of myself.
Right.
Yeah. No,
it's definitely a big implication either way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you see a real good dark cloud behind the moon, it's basically over. A lot of people have to look at it like a second time. It's like, I got to see that again, you know. I really see that. I first saw it when I was sun gazing, you know. And, you know, I was just programmed just like anybody else because when I saw it for the first time, it was a dark cloud. I realized, my God, I've seen this over and over again, didn't even realize it, you know.
I'm gonna have to start looking for it now that you say that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do believe I've seen it in the past. I've seen it in the past. I don't have the best eyesight now.
Everybody has seen it.
Yeah,
you don't have to have necessarily good eyesight. I took my mom out the first time I took her out, and she saw it twice. I had a roommate here who's not a Christian. And, I was very selective about who I told because I didn't want them to go out and kind of release the secret. Mm. So I sat on top of this thing with the risk that somebody else could reveal this.
Right.
It's hard to believe. I mean, you know. I've had to create an apologetic for why people are not able to see it in Western culture. And one of the shows that we talk about, or one of the things we talk about in the show over and over, is that God has made his own people stupid. And this is actually proof for that. You know what I mean?
Well, is that God or man that has made his own, you know what I mean?
Actually, if you look around at reality and process it properly, you see universal devolution. And you also see that people are not acknowledging it, which tells us that they have a cultic mindset. They can't acknowledge self-evident facts all around them. But it tells you that this kind of thing is going on. And so just based on devolution alone, if you have a God that's able to illuminate people, then he's choosing not to because everything is
wrong.
So this is why people create, you know, a theory of a deistic God, that God created, but he got apathetic and just kind of wandered away, and you know, he's doing something else.
Or it's kind of like, well, I'm going to let you people decide to, you know, to wake up on your own type thing.
Yeah. Now, it'd be interesting for you to hear what I believe. I probably shouldn't use this term, but I would fall under the classification of a Christian fatalist. But I believe in absolute determinism, and I believe in predestination. I believe that God created an inferior realm because I believe that the human spirit is eternal. It's uncreated, unlike the soul. And it actually dwells in a realm. And if you get your Bible out, you won't find any text there where you can say, you see right here, it says where our spirits are created. It never does this anywhere. Nobody talks about this. This is another one of the things we don't talk about in Christianity.
Oh, of course not.
But anyway, we came down from this superior realm, and this is one of these truths that they talk about in Gnosticism. They stole away from us, you see, and they put it in a religion that Christians will immediately reject because it has apparent blasphemies, like saying that certain types of Gnosticism would affirm that, you know, Yahweh is a demiurge, or possibly appears to even the Son of God, you know, there's different views of demiurge. And so they will immediately reject that, and there's actually truths in there that have been taken out of Christianity or kept away from Christianity and put in what I would call a false religion. So it has truths in that religion that Christianity doesn't have, and I'm saying this is all by deliberate design. It's brilliant because my own personal experience, I've learned that guilt by association is the most powerful form of propaganda to keep you from rejecting something, because I know it has worked over and over with my mind, and it's still effective. I still find myself doing this, you know. Like when a person says, you know, the fundamentalist Christian, well, that's a New Age belief. that's false necessarily. It could be an ancient belief. So most of these Christians, they don't know, they don't recognize that some of these things are ancient. They took these ancient, a lot of times they're universal beliefs, I mean, just a common folk belief. Oh, yeah, you know, everybody believed that, including the Hebrews. And they put it in a New Age movement. These people don't, they don't realize that, though.
Right, it's more that make you throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that pivot around whether you can actually see a cloud behind the moon. But I want to ask you another question about, they call it Nazi mythology. What do you think about, well, I think that, you know, as far as the technology they had in their military, I don't think there's a problem believing that, as a general rule, it was superior, generally speaking. I don't know if you have a problem with that. I'm talking about, though, the so-called, UFOs, the flying saucers.
Oh, okay, you're talking about, like, the Nazi bell going back that far, even farther.
Well, so, yeah, it's not like the Americans didn't have it. I think they had it, too.
right. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think, you know, they're always, you know, one could say, hey, they're 30 years ahead of what they show us, or they're 100 years, or even, you know, but who's to say they haven't had it all along, and they only, you know, release a certain amount.
That's exactly,
you know,
right. They release it down to levels of hierarchy.
Right.
Now, see, I've got a complex view of Tesla, that he was actually born into Illuminati bloodline. Connie will go into great detail about this. He was sincere, influenced to some degree, like everybody is, including myself. And, we're all in the cult of society. But anyway, but they actually utilized him. He had genuine genius. They knew that. And they said, oh, it's somebody we can use. And kind of put him out there in the public sector in order to bleed technology down to the what would later become the military-industrial complex.
Right, whether he was willing or not, you know, he's kind of the same thing where it's like, you know, yes, he meant well, but the stuff that he put out there was ended up using. But like you said, it already existed. It's just he was the one to explain it to the, you know, Edisons and the other, you know, even the layman of the time. He was the one that showed how this stuff worked or whatever. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, see, he was given technology because, well, you know, we weren't there, but supposedly, well, according to Tesla, he was actually, like, given technological visions that were three-dimensional, and he would walk around them and take notes.
Right. He supposedly would have these, like, electric storms type things, and it would come up with an idea.
Yeah. But see, I think that was given to him, which is interesting, you know, because it shows the kind of technology that they had, which doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
Because, see, I think the technological priesthood goes back to a superior antediluvian society that never really suffered from these cataclysms. Mankind suffers. See, with mankind, everything is cyclical. And we're dropping down to these low levels, and then we're gradually building back up again. That's why they keep hitting us with these wars, so we can't progress.
Exactly.
Inferior diet. See, the food we're eating is actually, it's basically like horse food. The ancient man did not eat these foods. Our basic staples,
not at all.
Our basic staples. No. And so, but what I'm trying to say is that they have never really, they don't know devolution. With them, everything is evolution. Then they switch everything around. They tell us that we're evolving. It's like they tell us, well, you're free.
Right,
but we're all slaves.
Right.
Now, if you're thinking straight at all, you got to understand that we're actually mental slaves. You see, we live in a cultic society we're born into. Our educational system is all based on memorization. They teach us nothing about discernment, and you just spit back the answer. And if you don't get the right answer, what's going to happen to you, Justin?
You're
punished.
Yeah, you're going to be punished, and you're not going to make it to the next level. And
are not recognizing that's a cultic system because that's all they know. So the truly remarkable thing is not what I just pointed out, but the fact that no one ever identifies it. Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, no. No, definitely. You shed a lot of light on that for me, even though, like, that makes sense.
You see, if you're in a cult, you're not supposed to know that you're in a cult.
Right.
And that's all we know. And I talked about earlier when you're born into, like, a culture, like Western culture, Muslim culture.
Sure, and any culture, you're taught that your culture is the best.
Yeah, that's normal.
That's the way of doing things.
I was going to
bring
that up earlier. They give you heroes, and they push the patriotism at you, and you emotionally identify with that. You get emotional attachment, and you defend it for the rest of your life. And if anyone challenges that, they're a bad person.
Right. Right. Well, that's when the patriotism comes flying back up. Well, hey, you know, you don't like it, move to Somalia or what, you know, whatever.
You know what we're doing here? We're challenging every subcategory. Well, not everyone, because a lot of them. But the basic categories of our societal structure, they're all collapsing before our eyes.
Yeah, no, indeed. And that's the thing. You know, it makes me wonder now, because, you know, like you said, we've been de-evolutioning. You know, maybe now, is there going to be a brief thing of actually people getting smarter for a while, and then it's going to go back to that after the next war or whatever, or say the alien invasion when they take back over again?
I'm glad
you brought that up. Have
to look at the larger reality. I'm a cosmic dualist. That's technically what I call myself, and I actually believe the ancient Hebrews were. And scholars actually use that terminology, refer to the Dead Sea Scroll community, and which I don't believe naturally. I don't believe they were what we told they were. But anyway, if you examine reality, you'll see cyclicism, universal cyclicism. We live in a reality that's subject to, you know, birth and death. But it doesn't stop there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, so, there has to be more.
This is the good news. Once you get the correct philosophical system, which is based on external realities, there have to be upswings eventually.
Right. It only makes sense. You can only go so far down without, like you said, it's cyclical. It's, you know, it's like anything else.
Well, we can't go much farther here as a society, the way our inner cities are collapsing. You're going to have an implosion.
Right.
Same with the economy. It can't just keep spiraling down, sliding
right
down forever. Now, people naively believe that the economy is just going to correct itself. But what if it doesn't? This society, as we know it, will collapse.
Sure.
That's just that one thing. If it ever gets to the point, you know, where a certain amount of people lose their unemployment, or their food cards, or they go on unemployment.
We're going to see nationwide riots in 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, and then they'll bring down the hammer.
Right.
And open up the FEMA camps. And it's funny, I don't hear the fakeologists talk about FEMA camps. I want you to look for something, because this is a common human failing of a human brain, is to ponder things that make us feel good and ignore things that make us feel bad. How many times have you heard the fakeologists talk about whether the FEMA camps are fake or whether they're not? I'm not saying they never heard or that they haven't, but they don't talk about it much, but I think a lot of them would be highly skeptical. And I'll be the first to tell you, they create these fear-mongering stories.
Right.
You know, with the guillotines falling off and all that crazy stuff.
Oh, right. Well, let me interlude here, because I totally am on board with what you're saying, and that's why I think I try to collect a lot of these guys even too, because, you know, I'm on the same page with them. I'd say I'm like 75% of the issues, but some of these things, and I'm to be the first one to say, yeah, the guillotine stuff, all that stuff is silly. But as far as the other stuff, yes, there's a lot of fear mongering, and a lot of these guys, they just want to think, okay, well, everything's fake, so I have nothing to worry about. You know, for example, Marcus Allen's a perfect example.
Right.
He's very... Well,
Marcus Allen, let me ask you a question. Does Marcus Allen have an eschatology?
I don't believe so.
Well, no. I mean, he doesn't believe in that kind of thing.
Right. You know, and that's the thing with him, is he just kind of... He's on the thing of, well, since all this stuff, everything is fake,
I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going
right.
to live my life. And, you know, so nothing bad is real. You know what I mean? And that's the point where some of these, you know, fakeologists get to. And it's and to me, it's almost like it's counterproductive. And they're ignoring the evil that is still in the world. And, for example, even when I talk about, like, some of the ritual, you know, the ritual slayings that, yeah, I mean, as far, yes, everything could be fake, but for the most part, I believe, you know, a lot of the serial killings and cult, you know, they were real, but they were for a reason, you know, and a lot of them discount this stuff.
There's
but,
actually
I mean, you
fakery
know,
involved, it's depending on what kind of fakery you're talking about here.
Well, I mean, you know, they just believe that it, you know, didn't happen. It was just, you know, that guy is playing a part. He may not even be in jail, you know. Depending on who you're talking to about which issue, but, you know, just say, like,
yeah.
Berkowitz or, what, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or Manson, you know, and that's where some of them go to. And they just believe, oh, well that wasn't real either. And I don't know that it was, but I'm going to pretty much say that until you can prove that it wasn't, you
right.
know, just by going off of, well, this is fake, that's been fake, you know, okay, well, you know, yeah, everything in the past 10 years or so for the most part has been fake, but there is some things that happen for real, and yes, they're staged and they're done on purpose or whatever, but they're not fake. You know, people really do die, you know, like you said, maybe not in these events that we've had lately for some reason, but I also think that, you know, they go in you know, swings where sometimes, you know, they'll go a certain amount, you know, some of these people don't believe that wars are real, you know, and I mean,
yeah,
I
had that on the list to ask Brian what he thought about the war in Libya and Afghanistan.
Yeah, no, well it, you know, and that's the thing, my opinion, I mean,
well,
dude,
I Libya. The reason I bring up Libya, because there's an example where you could actually have a war that's all just played out on a TV screen. There's no reality.
Well, yeah, Libya, I mean, you know, that's the thing. The ones in the Middle East and stuff, you know, it's hard to say. Afghanistan, I'll say this. I've had friends that went there,
mm-hmm.
and they're messed up in the head. You know,
yeah.
PTSD and stuff. I don't believe that they're just faking. I do believe that they
yeah,
saw somebody kill
you.
It or killed somebody. You know what I mean? So I can't just go along with it, you know.
Uh-huh.
I have a, you know, the guy I work with was in Vietnam. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I don't believe that all of Vietnam was a movie. As far as what's going on today in Syria or what's going on in Libya, sure, some of it may be faked. Maybe in some of them, you know, Libya would be hard to tell, like you said.
Yeah.
Maybe all that's fake. But as far as, you know, for the most part, I you know, anyone that we have access to, people that have been there, regular people, you know, it's, I can't see them, you know, pretty much all my friends that came back from Iraq or Afghanistan, they're all drug addicts now. They're all heavily shaken up from it, you know, from what they saw, what they did. And, you know, I mean, even had my friend from Iraq was showing me him working a checkpoint and blowing up cars, you know what I mean, that came through the checkpoint, and, you know. So, I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe, I'm sure a lot of it, maybe some of the feel-good missions and stuff, and, you know, yeah, the Jessica Lynch stuff, a lot, you know, it's phony, but there is some, there is people dying over there, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah.
Satan has to have some souls, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that's probably the number one reason why you have a war, because there's a hierarchical list of reasons. It's quite interesting. One of them is depopulation. Another one that I mentioned earlier is to keep the people from progressing. But if you look at it from a religious view, and that's also conspiratorial, the black magicians, their number one priority is to appease somebody above them.
Right.
And how is that done in a ritualistic context? The number one priority is sacrifice of human blood, because human blood is more valuable than animal blood.
Right.
Now,
the more innocent, the better.
That's exactly right. The more innocent, the better. And from the perspective of a black magician, the more blood, the better. There's
right.
There's no limits.
Right.
So what would that be? Well, that would be a war.
Right. Exactly.
You basically sanctify the whole war, and you dedicate the war to a being that's above you, to appease him, in order to gain personal power. This is the way things really get down in the world. And that's why you can't just explain everything away with media fakery.
Right.
This is the real world we live in. Now, here's what's interesting, Justin. The secular mind breaks down, and here's this simplistic argument. Well, I don't believe in Satan. Or you can't prove there's a Satan. Or Christianity is that's a Judeo-Christian belief. Or I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Did you know
right.
that none of those are legitimate arguments? You know why? It doesn't matter if any of those things are true. What matters is, do these elitists exist? And do they have this belief system? And can you infallibly prove they don't have that belief system? You can't.
No, you can't.
You also can't prove that the Illuminati don't exist. Whatever you want to call them, there's nobody
right.
in the public sector that can infallibly say they don't exist.
Right.
Just like you can't infallibly prove, even though it may be statistically improbable, that they're plotting and scheming against you right now in a boardroom because I just revealed to you the cloud behind the moon.
Right.
I'm doing this for somewhat humorous purposes.
No, I understand. No, but you're right. I mean, you know, but getting back to the Illuminati or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call them, the elite or whatever. But you know, getting back to it, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that they do this stuff for higher entities, and whether it's Satan, whether it's Saturn, you know, whether the planet, you know, because that's another thing I've come across, and I have trouble, you know, discerning, you know, because I know Saturn represents Satan, you know, and that's why when you look at, like, different religions, you have the black cubes and things like that, and, you know what I mean? And but there's no doubt about it that if you talk to a Satanist that is into ritual sacrifice, they believe in Satan. They believe they're doing it, and they believe that they're getting energy from it, you know, so...
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
maybe the ones on top, you know, maybe they're fooling their lackeys and they're doing it, but they're doing it for something. There's no doubt in my mind that they're not energy vampires, you know, and
they absolutely are.
When it comes to the, you know, all we need to do is look at the music industry or any entertainment industry or the Olympics, a sporting event, you know, when you have so many of these things just play out, and you know, you can tell. You know that they're paying homage to these, you know, to these deities. Then you know, how do you deny that? That's the thing. I don't care what religion you are. You know,
what you do, you look for redundant patterns over time,
right?
They keep coming back over and over again. That's one of the main things you look for in a world of uncertainty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no,
my phone is beeping every 50 seconds. It will do this for quite a while. I did a podcast one time for almost an hour like that.
Why is that? Is it losing battery?
It's actually a house phone. If I lost my cell phone, but when I used the cell phone, the sound quality was inferior.
Wow.
Marcus D. Allen used to ask him, well, how come your sound quality is so good? On Talk Show, the best thing that works... getting a little later, is a landline.
Hmm.
Cell phone's the worst. I'm using.
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone now. How am I sounding?
You actually sound pretty good. I didn't even think about the sound quality. A lot of times you get weird beeps and stuff that's going on.
Right.
And it's really annoying. That happened.
Yeah, no.
Happened to my cell phone.
That's one thing. My slave phone that I have right now is a pretty good one. I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but
your slave phone.
I mean, really, it's what better word to say for them? But you know, we come to the point where you pretty much have to have one. You know, if you're going to exist outside, you know what I mean, in society at all nowadays. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I put it off till this summer. I had a regular cell phone till this summer, and I finally, you know, Dance with the Devil, and they gave me free upgrade to a 4S or whatever the heck it's called. So I went for it, you know, and I was against them for the longest time, and I finally went, and it's you know, I can't help to say it, but
you know, people, I'm attached to it, just like, you know, many
oh,
other
yeah?
people are, you know?
Yeah. You got a smartphone?
Yeah, yeah, I finally broke down and got one in July.
What kind?
Samsung.
Maybe that was too personal of a question. But.
No, no, that's fine. It's Samsung.
Android.
Is it? Yeah, Android 4G, I think it's called.
No,
I'm not big on like, you know, brands or anything, but I think it's the 4G, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
4G or 4S, does that make sense?
I don't know. I haven't had a smartphone yet.
Yeah, I like I said, in July I finally cracked down when I went to get a new plan, and my other phone was you know, terrible shape. I had it for like 4 or 5 years, and they offered me the same deal for a smartphone, so I said, all right, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned your slave phone, and I talk about slave planet. People talk about prison planet, and this is slave planet, man.
Yeah.
And hoaxbusters, they talk about your slave job, and but we're all slaves. And I think that's one of the greatest truths that the little fakeologist movement has come up with. And it's really self-evident. It just has to do with whether a person can acknowledge a negative reality, the awful truth that's all around us.
Well, that's it, you know. I mean,
Christians have a real hard time with that one. They say, I'm free in Christ. I'm not a slave. Yeah, you're
yeah,
free in
well,
Christ, all right, but you're also a slave.
Right. Well, tell me, you know, you're not dipping your foot into the secular world at all either, you know, and that's the thing about it, you know, and you have to. There's no way, unless you live like a monk, that you're going to you know, and even me, I don't work on the books or anything like that, but, you know, I have to still live one foot in, one foot out, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you can't get away from it. I've talked on the podcast a number of times. You know, you have to physically raise your children away from corrupt children. Or they're going to be corrupt too.